Well, that's not working at all. Cody Goff here on 720 WGN. We were going to have a big intro, but that certainly didn't happen. Dan, can you play some music? I just got nothing out here. And I know you're expecting to hear Brian Noonan, but you know what? Ooh, there we go. That sounds great. That sounds real good. Let's let that play out for a second. It's good. Glad you're with me. Cody Goff on 720 WGN in for Brian Noonan, who is no longer with WGN. That is right. I am so sorry to announce that earlier today we were hanging out. We were getting ready for the show. It was going to be a really great time, and we were recording stuff for this big Easter special, and then all of a sudden, lo and behold, we get a call from management. And we were sitting in the recording booth, so I actually kept it recording. I've got some audio. I don't know exactly how to play it from here, but I'm going to try to figure that out very soon. And, yeah, we've got a little bit of audio of what happened when Brian was no longer availed of this afternoon's show. But I can assure you that I'm going to be a very suitable replacement. I'm going to bring you all of the Brian Noonan hits, like Dubstep Hour, which I know that everyone's been really excited to hear for many, many years. We've been talking about the potential of doing a Dubstep Hour, and here we are finally getting around to it. I'm also going to talk about the new Final Fantasy XIV patch notes. I mean, that is a new expansion that is out, and everyone is super excited to see what's next in Eorzea for the Warriors of Light, obviously. Also going to talk about, you know, the White Sox are great, and it's cool that WGN's got the White Sox, but let's be honest, Heroes of the Storm is the hottest game that there is right now. It is an esport, and Blizzard Entertainment just really knows how to entertain, so we're going to talk a lot about how Heroes of the Storm is the new baseball. We're going to talk about some 5v5, talk about which lane you will take first when you're trying to attack the enemy's core, when you're setting up turrets and all that kind of stuff, and it's just going to be a really fantastic show. So, like I mentioned, Brian's untimely demise occurred earlier today, and I got a little bit of audio. We were just hanging out in the radio studio and recording something innocuous. He gets a phone call. I realized it was management. And I'm like, all right, well, yeah, you know how the world is these days. If you don't record something, you don't have the proof. You've always got to have evidence in case something goes wrong or something goes awry. Well, here we are, and I can't say anything went awry other than the conversation. So I'm going to play a little bit of it for you here. Here's what happened on Brian's end. And I believe we are not quite playing it, but I'm going to get there. I promise. Again, you know, I was pretty prepared for a show. Like, so every Sunday I come in prepared to do a radio show, because why wouldn't I be? It's just a thing that you do. You go into a radio station, you just assume you're going to be on air at some point. I mean, I see people in the kitchen all the time. I see people at the front desk. Basically, anybody who's anybody is just kind of hanging out, waiting for a show to happen. And today is one of those days where that's happened. So, we're just examining how to get some of that audio of Brian and the debacle, the insanity that happened today. I do also want to say happy Easter to everybody, because it's Easter, and it's Easter Sunday. I did not make it to Mass this morning because I'm a very bad Catholic, but I did make it to brunch, and maybe later in the show we'll talk about Easter brunch. I'm not sure that's quite as relevant as Dubstep Hour or Final Fantasy XIV patch notes or Heroes of the Storm, but, maybe one or two people in the greater Chicagoland area, maybe that many people went to brunch this morning. It's really hard to say. So, I believe we are now set with this special clip of what happened with Brian Noonan. Let's see.
Hey, boss.
There we go.
I got your email that you wanted to see me. What's going on? What do you mean you're making a change? What does that mean, making a change? You're letting me go. You're firing me after all these years?
Yeah, this is hard to watch.
Why? Because I was late to the news? Are you f***ing kidding me?
Yeah, it got
you
got rough.
You're firing me because I was late to the news. Have you heard? The beep is just a suggestion to start wrapping up. You're kidding. So, all right, all my years of loyalty, the overnights, the fill-in shifts, coming in on holidays, none of that means you, huh? Because I was a minute late to the news.
Yeah, it was rough.
Bad news. Weather, traffic. Here's this that. Are you kidding me? I don't care if I am burning bridges.
Mm.
I ought to take a flamethrower at every bridge in this joint.
Yeah.
After all I've put up with here. You're going to let me go? What do you think I'm going to... Who are you going to replace me with? What are you putting on in my place? Cody. Now I know you're f***ing high. You're going to... What is it? Dubstep hour? That's what we're going to have to listen to?
Yeah.
Hey, I play video games. Geek, 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 geek. Star Wars, Star Trek, everybody's happy. Bup, bup, bup.
Cody. I love Cody, but no, you're not putting him on. He's not going to take my place.
Well,
you expect me to beg now? You think I'm going to break down? Oh, after all these years of you guys, you know, counting on me to be there whenever you need me, now you think I'm going to beg, right? Going to beg for my job? Oh, please don't let me go. I've always wanted to be here. I don't give a I'm out of here. I'm not going to ask you to reconsider. Reconsider this. Kiss kiss put your head up there and give yourself a colonoscopy. Take a look around. See where all your decisions are. Yeah, because they're all the way up.
Yeah, I thought the last part, you went a little too far. But, I mean, how would you react? How would you react? You know, a couple minutes late to news. Listen, some might argue it's my job as a producer to keep Brian on time. And some would argue that it's fully my responsibility to make sure that he hits those news breaks on time so that he doesn't get fired and so that we both keep our job. I choose to not see it that way. I choose to just see it as, you know what, now I've got a show and Brian doesn't. And that's, you know, that's just the way the cards fell. It's fate. I struggle to find the words to really describe any sense of responsibility for this, because why would I feel any of that? And here we are. So anyway, I've already outlined a fantastic show. I don't imagine there's much else involved in even hosting a radio show other than talking about how great it's going to be. So we're going to have a great one. Maybe we'll hear some more of that audio later. I want to hear your thoughts on the brand new WGN Sunday afternoon, whatever show this is called now, that I have taken over. And we're just going to come back in a couple minutes after everyone's been able to process the fact that we may not hear a little bit of Noonan for a while. So we'll be back in a minute here on WGN. Cody Goff on 720 WGN. Obviously, I didn't have enough dubstep ready because dubstep hour has not occurred yet. But dubstep hour will happen at some hour during this 3-7 spectacular. It's the Brian Noonan Show replacement spectacular, as I, Cody Goff, have stepped in after Brian was unceremoniously removed from his duties earlier today at the station. I'm not going to play the whole clip again, but just in case you're just joining us and you missed this before the break, here's a little bit of the conversation that occurred between Brian and management just hours ago.
Hey, boss. I got your email that you wanted to see me. What's going on?
And he was in the studio. He got a phone call. I just left the mic running, and here's what we ended up with.
What does that mean, making a change? You're letting me go.
Yeah, it was...
You're firing me after all these years?
Hard to watch.
Why? Because I was late to the news?
Yes, which technically...
Are you f***ing kidding me?
It's partially my fault, but...
You gotta be f***ing me. You're firing me because I was late to the... news?
Yeah.
Have you heard? The beep is just a suggestion to start wrapping up.
Yeah, turns out the beep,
so, all right,
turns
all
out the beep is not just a suggestion, believe it or not. So actually had a couple other producers texting and saying, you know, we know. He just should have, we told him, nail that news on time. I never said it to him, but I believe other probably better producers have. So I wanted to get a couple reactions, maybe hold a little bit of a in memoriam kind of a segment. We've got a couple old friends on the line, believe it or not, that I just want to hear your reaction and say hello, of course, to a couple of old friends. And I'm going to, again, attempt to put them on the air because, listen, I only found out a couple hours ago I was going to do this radio show. So hello to CB and Double D, the Insatiable Insomniacs. Are you there, Chris?
Cody, how are you?
How's it going, man? I think I just hung up on Dave, but that's what happens when you don't know about this zany radio business. How you doing, man?
Wow. Wow, you just talked about, Dave, a lot of people being let go today, apparently.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't.
Wow.
But,
I mean, first Brian, now apparently you just let Dave go. You just, Cody, what's going on with you, man? I'm a little shocked at all this news, and I'll be honest, I'm you know, you dump Dave like that, and I'll be honest, I'm bothered by this, man. I'm a little bothered by this. It sounds like you kind of set Brian up here.
Oh, no, I wouldn't say anything like that.
Don't tell me, oh, no. Your job was to keep Brian on time. That's part of your job.
Listen, I mean, you've got to take responsibility at some point, right?
Yeah, but you got to, I don't know. I kind of have a feeling you were kind of behind this here, that you were kind of set him up, that all along you wanted the Cody show.
That seems unlikely. I would never have done anything like that. I mean, what do you think? How did you hear about this? Did you just hear on the radio, or have you heard from Brian at all?
Well, I got a text from Double D saying that, dude, you gotta turn on the show. You're not gonna believe what just happened, and so I turned it on, and I'm shocked. Now I have a lot of feelings. I have a lot of feelings on the topic because the more I thought about it. You know, when you think about the best part, the worst part about the Brian Noonan show, if you think about it, was probably Brian Noonan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to confirm or deny. You know, I'm not allowed to make statements about current or past programs at the station. I won't say he was, you know, easy to work with, but I thought he certainly had his moments. And we'll try Double D and see what I believe if I don't hang up on him, because, again, this is relatively new. Double D, do we got you on the air here?
You got me on now. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Chris was just telling us that he heard from you about this whole staffing change.
I've got my family here. We're celebrating Easter. We've got the Brian Noonan show on, as we usually do on Sunday afternoons. And we heard all this go down. I had to reach out to Chris right away.
Well, sure, absolutely. I mean, now it's going to be the Cody Goff show for today, which I hope you're okay with.
I'm totally okay with that. It's about time.
Ah, see, Chris? Not all bad.
No, it's not all bad. I will say, you know, when I was hearing him talk to management there, it brought me back to a lot of conversations that he had with us. I mean,
with us,
we always,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was always like, "Hey, Brian," and he was like, "Hey, beep and beep, CB. Hey, beep and beep, DD." But you know, we didn't have the beeps out. We were just
we were talking. We got it all the time.
Oh,
we got
man.
It raw and deep.
Yeah. Wow, that's wild. And see, there's no room for profanity here at WGN. I mean, there's no room for any kind of talking like this kind of language.
Coming in,
where'd that thing go? Here we go. Yeah, you hear that? I mean, this is
late to the news.
You don't want to hear anything like that on WGN.
Bad news, weather, traffic. Here's just that.
Inappropriate.
Are you kidding me?
Inappropriate.
I don't care.
And who talks to management like that? Have you guys ever talked to a boss like that?
No, that brings back a lot of memories. Yeah, brings back a lot of memories.
Absolutely. Now that I've got a brand new show, what do you guys think about coming and doing maybe some kind of Insomniacs After Dark? Like, so far after dark that it's daytime.
That it's daytime.
You know, love it. That's the one part about Noonan that I didn't like at all. You know, he made us come on and do the overnight show. And then when the overnight show was done, we begged to come on the Sunday afternoon show, and all we got was bleeping this and bleeping this. You can't, and it was not even considered. We'd love to. I think we would love to, right, Dave? Right, Double D?
Absolutely. Absolutely. While it's light out, sure. I like to eat when it's light out.
All right, cool. All right, you're officially invited onto the Brian Noonan Replacement Spectacular starring Cody Goff, which is, I think, what I'm going to officially call the show. Don't you think that's appropriate?
I love it. I'm just thinking, ding dong, Noonan gone.
Yeah, right? Okay, great. I just wanted to make sure that we were all on the same page here, because I feel pretty good about all of this, and I do remember the not-so-subtle threats on your life if you tried to show up at the station in the middle of the day, not acceptable. And hey, listen, you can continue, guys, to listen to this really special Easter show that I'll be doing, because I'll be doing all of the typical Brian Noonan show favorites. I'll be talking, first of all, about how much I love ham. We're actually going to have a ham vendor come in here with several different types of curated ham, and we're going to have a ham sampling. I know everybody always likes to talk about ham on Easter Sunday, and I will be telling the classic, he's not here to tell his Easter story, so I'll be telling the happiest Easter story ever, which I know is a big favorite among the crew. I don't know if there's anything else that I'm missing from the typical Brian Noonan show experience that I should be highlighting, guys.
I think your discussion on ham, I think people are going to go hog wild for.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to go great. It's going to go phenomenal.
All right. Well, go ahead.
My only advice is if you want to make it the full Brian Noonan experience, sir, you got to add bleeps.
I got to do what?
Yeah. You got to add the bleeps.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. You know, that's a little hard to do live, but maybe I can record some in the first hour. We can have a producer bleep it out or something, because I can't produce the show and host at the same time. I don't know if you guys knew that. If you're just joining us on the stream, obviously I'm behind the board, so obviously this, this is the thing that's happening.
Cody, let me ask, before we sign a contract with you, a couple questions. First of all, are we going to be whipped before we come on with you? Because that was protocol with Brian. He would always whip us.
You know, I'm still on the fence about the whipping, because he left his bullwhip here, which, as you recall, he used to use for hunting. He would kill pigeons in the parking lot before coming up into the studio, and a lot of times throw it in the microwave for me to eat, since I wouldn't really get fed otherwise. He would enjoy the Mr. Sub and the Lou Malnati's, but he'd be out there bullwhipping pigeons for me, which was delicious. But, I've got a complicated relationship with whips now, so I'm not sure if I really want to use it on you guys, or if I'm just going to want to continue eating roadkill as a result of it.
I got this question as well. Are you going to refer to people as real people, or just continue to address them as wife and daughter? I mean, that's pathetic. I talked to wife today. I talked to daughter today. I talked to, a pathetic person who's one of the insomniacs today. Can you address people as real people now? Is that possible?
You know, I'm not sure, insomniac number two, whether I'm going to be reverting to that or not. I'm not sure if wife is going to let me refer to her by name, and I don't have daughter. Daughter doesn't exist. So that could be complicated, but it's all a work in progress. That's the wonderful thing about the Brian Noonan Replacement Spectacular Experience starring Cody Goff special, is that
there's a ring to it.
Thank you. It's got a ring to it, and I'm going to shape the show in what I think the spirit of the Brian Noonan show would always want to be. Guys, I'm going to have to let you go. I've got another caller to get to, but thanks so much, Insomniacs, for joining this first ever show on this beautiful Easter Sunday.
Ding dong,
noon and
gone.
Take care, guys. All right, and we do have another person to talk to. Here we go, guys. Are you all ready for this? I believe we're saying hi to Christy. Christy, hi, you're on WGN.
Hey, Cody.
Hey, this is Brian's old producer, isn't it?
It is. It's Brian's first producer.
Whoa. Hey, listen.
The one who reminded him when to go to the news.
Oh, I see. So you're, all right. I get what you're... I'm picking up what you're throwing down. Throwing a little shade. I mean, is it my fault? I don't know. You tell me.
I mean, kinda. I mean, a lot of times I would be, like, making hand gestures to get him to go to break through the glass, and he would ignore me. So, yes and no, but, it's kind of your fault, but now, I mean, the show is yours, so I guess the real question I have is, like, are you looking for someone to produce the show? Are you looking for someone to help you out?
You know, I've heard, I'm not going to say I heard good things from Brian, because as we've just heard, he just really talked trash about everybody, but... You do seem to be the producer he complained about the least, because I know that's not me. I'm definitely not the one he complained about the least. So, if you're looking, what I'm curious about is you have a lot of experience being a former Noonan producer. This is new to me. I'm only in it a couple hours. What's the best part about being a former producer for Brian Noonan?
Sleep. Getting some sleep. and then not having to dodge the hot coffee that he throws at you when he gets mad.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you had to deal with that, the coffee?
You know, he hasn't thrown the hot stuff on me recently. Because sometimes lately he's been into the iced coffee thing, and he'll just dump lots of cream packets in it and sugar and things like that, so it gets really sticky and gross. And so he'll throw that on me. So while it doesn't scathe my skin quite as directly, it does get really, really sticky and gross, and that's really not fun. I can't believe he did that to you in the overnights. Wow.
Well, I mean, that's when he had the hot coffee. I mean, he would come in and be like 9, and he'd be prepping, and then I'd come in like a little bit later. I think he got mad at me because of that, and then you say the wrong thing, and then boop, coffee right at you.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I hope you're enjoying your Easter Sunday, and this news wasn't too traumatic or shocking to you. Have you just been waiting for this to happen?
Well, see, to be honest, I mean, I heard you talking about the ham. I tuned in to hear the ham story because that was honestly, like, my favorite part was hearing about the ham.
Mm-hmm.
Tuned in, didn't hear Noonan. This might be my favorite Noonan Easter story now.
Wow. You're talking about this that happened just a little bit ago?
I ought to take a flamethrower to every bridge in this joint.
Mm.
After all I've put up with here.
Flamethrower.
You're going to let me go? What do you think I'm going to... Who are you going to replace me with? What are you putting on in my place?
Yeah.
Cody.
You thought it'd be you, didn't you, Christy?
I know you're hot.
I mean, I was like... I feel like every day it was like 3 seconds from firing, getting fired and the fear.
Well, I'm glad that we are all comfortable now. There is less hot coffee being thrown about. There are fewer bullwhips. I'm going to have to let you go because we're jumping in the news in a second. But thanks for joining me, and I hope you have just a wonderful, beautiful, lovely Easter and that this was not too traumatic for you.
You too. Best of luck.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Christy. Take care. And with that, again, this is, and if you're just joining us, Brian Noonan earlier today, unceremoniously removed. Here's part of the conversation.
What is it, dubstep hour? That's what we're going to have to listen to?
This is when management told him that I'd be replacing him this afternoon after he was late to the news too much.
Cody. I love Cody, but no, you're not putting him on. He's not going to take my place. Expect me to beg now? You think I'm going to break down? Oh, after all these years of you guys, you know, counting on me to be there whenever you need me?
Yeah.
Now you think I'm going to beg?
It was rough.
Going to beg for my job?
And then he just does this.
Don't let me go. I've always wanted to be here. At the
yeah, there it is. It's pretty rough. Anyway, it is now time for the news. We will get to more of your calls after this. It is 3:30 on 720 WGN, and we're just going to go to the news. Here's Pam Jones. Off on 720 WGN. That is just a taste of Dubstep Hour, which is coming up in a little bit on the Brian Noonan Replacement Spectacular starring Cody Goff, which is me here on WGN. In case you're just joining us again, very sad. Brian let go from the station earlier today. I caught part of his phone conversation when he was in a studio. We were recording something for the show. This is how it sounded.
I'm out of here. I'm not going to ask you to reconsider this. Kiss. Put your head up there. Give yourself a colonoscopy.
Yeah.
Take a look around. See where all your decisions are. Yeah, because they're all the way up.
Yeah, it was rough. It was rough. So Brian is no longer, but I will try to bring you the best of the Brian bits and so much more on this Easter special here at WGN Radio. I'll be doing all the favorites, like talking about ham. We'll have some ham guests in here, and I'll tell the happiest Easter story ever. But first, there is a brand new segment. I have been wanting to debut this segment for years, and Brian has shut it down so many times. And have you ever noticed that when you Google something, if you add the letter S to the end of it and make it plural, sometimes it'll give you a different search result? This, I think, is one of the big questions facing many people today on the internet. If you Google the word banana, the top result is, what do you think it is? Of course, it is the Wikipedia entry for the word banana. But if you Google bananas, the top result is from Medical News Today. Talks about the health benefits, tips, and risks. So how and why does this happen? You know, I'm not sure. We're going to hopefully explore that on a future version of this segment. But I want to talk about, I mean, a banana is a superfruit. Now, I don't know that it says superfruit in the actual Wikipedia article. In fact, let's look. It's a superior taste, and you can find it at a supermarket, but it is not, in fact, an actual superfruit. But what I find really interesting, and we could talk about bananas all day. In fact, we probably will talk about bananas all day. It's really appropriate for Easter. You may not think that's true, but check this out. From the Wikipedia page, a banana is botanically a berry. I'm just going to let that percolate for a second. A banana is an edible fruit, and it is botanically a berry. Think about the implications of this. And it's only 3:37. And we've got another 23 minutes or so to talk about bananas. And there's so much to get into that I just can't even wait. But we do have a caller that I guess wants to talk about bananas. Thanks for jumping onto the topic so quickly. I knew that this would take off. I knew that this would be a hugely popular segment here on WGN Radio. So, Bob and Winnetka, you're on air with Cody Goff on WGN. Hi, Bob.
Seriously, banana conversation? This is what I've been replaced for?
I'm sorry, what was that, Bob? You didn't quite catch that.
Yeah, you didn't quite catch it, Cody? Like, you didn't catch the fact that you knew I was getting bounced and you had orchestrated this whole thing? Come on, banana man. You don't have any clever quips right now? No video game reference you can make to talk your way out of this jam?
We're talking about bananas on the show. So if you're called,
you're not even going to acknowledge who this is. Are you afraid to say my name like I'm the Voldemort of radio now? Because you know if you say my name, I might appear, and then there's going to be all sorts of hell to pay.
Well, changes. You know what? I'm sorry.
Changes were made. You know why the changes were made? Because you stabbed me in the back.
Oh, you know, I gotta let you go. I just need a, there must have been, you know, we get some crazy callers. And whoever's producing right now has got to, just work on screening a little
out
better,
of
maybe. Yeah, oh, sorry about that. Oh, listen, hey, let's move on from the banana thing. Let me just talk for one minute about one other segment that I just want to relaunch while I kind of just regain my composure here. Let's just jump to Florida news. We're already talking about bananas. It's a seamless transition. Let's just get into Florida news. I brought some Florida stories that really, really, I think, are the kind of things that we should always talk about on Florida news. This is not your typical Brian Noonan show for Florida news. These are the hand picks of Cody Goff. All right, so this one, Mount Dora launches a shuttle system and parking limits to ease visitors' search for scarce spots. This is hilarious. All right, check this out. So to ease visitors' parking predicament, the Lake County City has placed a 4-hour time limit for parked cars in the core of downtown and is launching a golf cart shuttle to ferry passengers from parking lots to outside of the city center. What will they think of next in Florida? That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. That is funny. Don't tell me that's not comedy. We know the craziest stories come from Florida. That we know is comedy. What else we got? This from the Orlando Sentinel. Snowbirds flock to chicken night, prepare to head north for the summer, to chagrin of businesses. You know what? I didn't actually read this one, so I'm going to skip it. There's a lot of words on that page. And we've got one final one before we break. We've got one more final one. How about, where can you go food shopping on Easter? Some major chains are actually open. So for those of you down in Miami, according to the chain websites or from calling the stores, this is a thoroughly sourced story, Publix supermarkets are closed and Winn-Dixie and Fresco y Mas stores are open regular hours. Only in Florida. Only in Florida can you get that type of, just that type of comedy genius. Oh my God, and Presidente supermarkets are open. Like, I can't get enough of those crazy Floridians. I just really can't. All right, we got one more call about Florida news after that absolutely side-splittingly hilarious edition of Florida news. We've got Jim in Plainfield. Jim, hi, you're on WGN Radio with Cody Goff in for Brian Noonan.
First it's bananas, then you take my Florida news bit and completely destroy it.
You are an imbecile.
Backstabber? Jim, you don't sound very happy. Did you not find the hilarious?
No, this is how you do Florida news. A Florida man driving an unregistered car was arrested for several offenses, and he used the smell his fingers alibi. That's the kind of Florida news you do. Not, oh, they opened a new bus route and shuttle service. That's fantastic. Hey, guess what? A store is open on Sunday. I can't believe they put you in my place.
Listen, this is not on topic. I don't know how you got through on the air.
On topic. You're ruining Florida news, and you're ruining this time slot, and you've ruined my life.
Keep
stammering.
I can't, you know, I'm just going to let you go there. And we're just going to take a short break here, and everyone's going to calm down, and I'm sure that the rest of this hour will just fly by. We're here until 7. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you. We'll talk to you in just a minute here on WGN.
WGN, if you are just joining us, we are in the midst of Florida news. That's right, it's Florida news.
Rejected state songs.
Come to Florida and die.
All the good stories come from Florida. It's America's trailer park, you know that.
Woo! Uh-oh, Brian sees some blips on his Floridar. Get ready to go from classy to trashy. This is Florida news.
All right, we were talking about a Florida man who told the cop to smell his fingers as an alibi. If you're just joining us, this was a story we had started. Joshua Lee had put a fake license plate on his 1999 Green Saturn and was driving it around while on Thursday morning a sheriff spotted the vehicle cruising the neighborhood on Grays Airport Road. With three other occupants, Joshua, who was driving, ignored the blue lights and siren and continued driving. He finally parked in front of a trailer. Shocker right there. Guy with a made-up license plate parking in front of a trailer. Well, he knocked on the door. Out walks Josh, soaking wet and wrapped in a towel. He denied driving the car and quickly thought of an alibi. He said he had been being intimate with his girlfriend. He used a term that we cannot use here because that would be horrifying. And then he asked the officer to smell his fingers to prove his point. So there you go. That's Florida news. Oh, my goodness. We have so much fun with Florida news, don't we, Cody?
Yeah, that's it. That's
that is on Easter.
Great segment.
That's
always.
How we start. Always fun to start out with Florida news.
My first Easter away from home, I actually was visiting my grandpa in Florida. So
really?
I have a vivid Easter memory of Florida from being younger because, yeah, because, you know, you're used to spending the holidays at home a lot of times.
Sure, and unfortunately, this holiday, we are not at home. We are here with each other, as we are wont to do on certain holidays. Usually, you don't work the holidays. What happened? How'd you end up here on the holidays?
Good question.
I'm a very prolific broadcaster.
You're a journalist.
Yeah.
You're a hard-hitting.
I am a hard-hitting journalist.
Hard-hitting journalist.
Hard-hitting. So how come you're not?
Oh, why am I not?
That was a legit question.
I wasn't invited. My family got tired of me.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen at all. No. I just didn't want to do the whole go to Rockford and come back thing early on a Sunday. And my wife is out of town, so I haven't really, you know, I can't spend it with her. So I'm like, you know what? I'll just hang out with the noons.
The noons? Really?
That's my new nickname for you.
That's the nickname we're going to go with now? The noons?
Yeah. Who officiated your wedding, Cody? The noons.
The noons, sure. That's it. It's all about the noons. That's what the Blackhawks guys call me. That's
really?
Like my Blackhawks nickname, Noons.
I was going to ask you if anybody's ever called you that.
Noons is when I talk to John or Troy or Judd or anybody over at the, when Judd was here, or anybody over at the Hawks. It's because if you're in hockey, you got to have a nickname. They never call anybody by their real name.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have it. So they called me Noons, which I took as a badge of honor that I actually had a little nickname.
Oh, yeah. That's impressive. I've never had a nickname here at WGN.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, no, that's not true at all. Spike had a ton of nicknames for me. He called me Code Man, Code Meister, Secret Code. Actually, Secret Code was what he called me the most. And so for a lot of listeners for a long time, when I was his intern, I was the Secret Code. And he always called me that.
The Secret Code?
That one stuck. That one actually stuck for a long time. My dad still called me that a couple years later. He's like, Secret Code, what's going on?
Well, sure. If Spike gives you a nickname, it's got to stick.
Oh, sure.
You know.
Oh, sure.
I've given you nicknames, but only in private, not to you. When I'm talking about you, I use different adjectives for your different nicknames.
Mm.
You know.
Can you call those nicknames if you just say that about anybody you dislike?
Slur, maybe, more than nickname.
Okay.
Disparaging remark, maybe, more than nickname. But nickname sounds nicer on the holiday.
Sure.
But I have to get a new chair. This one is way too low.
What's going on?
I don't know. I sat in, I just came in and this was the chair, the chair was here because I didn't like the chair. It's a whole thing. I don't like the chair Amy was sitting in. Not because Amy was sitting in it, but because it's uncomfortable. And this one looks like the chair that I like, except it's got a much lower profile. And now I feel like a baby because I'm kind of reaching up to run the board. So it's uncomfortable.
It bothers me that almost all of the chairs are different models.
Yes, there's no... I think there's two chairs in here that match.
Yeah, it's nice for selection. I mean, aesthetically, obviously, it's not ideal.
Pleasing.
But one might think, you know, you've got options. Isn't that nice? But
is that what one might think?
I don't want options. Do you know that having more choices and more options for something actually make people less happy psychologically? It's true.
Really?
Yeah, psychologically, people don't want as many. There was a study that we wrote about on Curiosity.com, and I know it was a shameless
plug.
But we legitimately have an article about how more choices is bad. But I don't remember offhand exactly what the reasons are. But there were researchers that did studies, and they found that, and this becomes a problem, especially in the U.S., where when you go in the grocery store, you get to the ranch dressing section where there's 97 different ranch dressings. And you're like,
This happened Friday. I was out with Molly because she's home for spring break, right? And we were running around downtown. She wanted to go to this place for lunch, and she'd been wanting to go. And the menu is like a small phone book. There's a million choices. It's a great place, but there were, pages of breakfast items, then pages of lunch items, then pages of fountains, ice cream. So, and it's one of those where you're like, I don't know. I want some choice, but I don't need that much choice. So I can give a little validity to that study because you don't want to. If you have that many choices, you're sure that you're going to make the wrong choice, or you're sure that there's a possibility, a great possibility, that you're going to make the wrong choice.
Yeah, yeah. It's called choice paralysis is one way of saying it. But yeah, it's called the paradox of choice. It's the fact that our satisfaction decreases as the number of options increase.
Right.
Maybe it's also the problem with online dating. You're just swiping away.
That's true.
Go through 200 people.
Used to be when you just went out, whatever bar you were in, that was your dating pool. That was easy. It was, it was rough, but it was easier than thinking, my choices are unlimited. It's the grass is always greener syndrome. Well, if I choose from one of the breakfast items, look at all those delicious lunch items that I'm missing out on.
Mm-hmm.
Now do I order breakfast and lunch together? Do I go brunch, even though, that creates its own problems?
Yeah.
So I can understand that.
Yeah.
Let's get back to Florida news. Florida family discovers 8-foot gator swimming in the pool. South Florida family had an unwelcome visitor who greeted them in their pool. The Boca Raton Police Services Department said in a Facebook post, because that's where you want to read all your police updates, on Facebook. That's where... what is it? Cambridge Analytica. That's why they're stealing. That's why they're able to steal all our information, because the police are posting procedural things on Facebook.
Mm.
Well, they said a resident woke up to find an 8-foot gator in his pool. It sounds like a Molly Hatchet song. Matt Fino said he was taking his dog for their routine morning stroll when he made the discovery. Quote, it's a real eye-opener, end quote. Really, Matt? It's
what?
A real eye-opener that
what's
there's that? A... First of all, that's where you take your dog to the backyard to walk around your pool? One, you're lazy. Two, your dog hates you. And three, you deserve to have a gator in your pool. Because, the dog is the one who probably freaked out. You probably didn't even notice. So this was... Just to make sure he wasn't dreaming, he ran inside and woke up his wife. Imagine that. Hey, baby, come outside. Wait, what? Huh? Come on outside. There's a gator in the pool. is not April 1st. You are not the Brian Noonan Show. Stop messing around. No, seriously, come out and tell me if this is if there's a gator in the pool. His wife said, quote, I saw the gator and I couldn't even, end quote. I was in total shock. Another quote. Well, then they call that accent? Sure. I picture anybody who lives in Florida have that accent.
And no one in Florida has
that. Well, somebody in Florida might have that accent.
I don't think many people.
It's the South, so there's a good chance somebody has that accent.
It's not the South.
Well, it's its own... It's South.
It's South it's of not, the South.
That's true. It's the Sub-South.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I know there's a lot of transplants in Florida, but I'm guessing there has to be at least one or two resident or local Southerners that have moved to Florida.
Nope.
They all moved out?
Yeah.
So is that just an accent when we do Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi stories? Perhaps a Georgia?
Yeah.
I'm going to go still Kentucky on that accent.
Yeah,
Tennessee.
That's fine. Outside of Louisville.
Louisville.
Yeah. Louisville.
I'm not going to do that accent for the Carolinas. They have their own little thing.
Do they?
Probably. Anyway, the cops came. They contacted the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. Eventually, a gator trapper came to remove the reptile. Now, see, this is another reason why I disparage my high school career counselor. Because, one, we didn't really have any career counseling. It was like, just go to college. Okay, but what if I have other interests? Perhaps I want to be a guy in hip waders who wrestles large reptiles. Shut up and go to college. That's what they told me. And I said, but I have camouflage, and I have these gloves that are bite-proof. And they went, you're an idiot. Go to college. Now, I think it would be great. My business card would be shaped as a gator, if I were a gator trapper.
Oh, that's smart.
That's right. Bayou Brian's Gator Trapping. That would be my company. I would be the CEO and head trapper, and it would be a gator. It'd be a gator, and when the mouth opened, that's where you'd see the phone number.
Yeah.
On the website.
And plus, if a gator sees the card, it's not going to eat it.
Well, yeah, sure.
Because a gator's not going to eat a gator.
Oftentimes, you're interviewed by a gator who's about to be trapped. It says, who are you? And you have to present them with your card.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it would, you know, that's it.
How many interviews have you conducted with gators?
With gators? None, but I'm not Bayou Brian, the gator trapper.
Yet.
No one was injured in the ordeal. Fino said he will be more cautious when going about his morning routine. Yeah, I wouldn't go out in my backyard ever again. I would actually walk out the front door and sell the house. And when the realtor came and asked if there was anything I need to disclose, no. Electricity's up to code. We've got a new roof, new air conditioner. Any gators in your pool? Not to my knowledge. And then you just pack up and leave. What about the patio set? You want to go out and get that? Nah, I don't think so. We'll leave it for the buyer. We've enjoyed it very much, so I think we'll just leave it for them. There's absolutely no doubt that every morning when I open the door, I'll be staring at the pool first, he said. Dun, dun, dun. That would be kind of... listen, I've seen coyotes in my old backyard. I've seen deer in my backyard. Obviously, smaller mammals. Birds and bunnies and things. I know birds aren't mammals, but bunnies are mammals.
Pigeons?
Pigeons are birds. I've seen all those. And I've seen a turtle and lizards in the backyard, but I've never seen an 8-foot gator would kind of freak me out. Because I don't know if I've ever told the story. I was working the road, and I was in Hilton Head, South Carolina. So the club I was working put us up in a condo that was right on a golf course. So the other comic and I decided we're going to go. He wanted to go out, and he was just going to go out and play a couple holes on the course. And I went with because I figured I'd just walk along and be outside. It'd be fun. So we're on one of these on the fairway, and there's waterways coming through because it's an island. And all of a sudden, we see some baby gators coming up onto the fairway. And we're like, oh, that's pretty cool. And we didn't get close. We were maybe 20 feet from these baby gators. All of a sudden, the mama gator comes out of the water, and it's like, uh-oh. And she got between us and the babies, and it was a little, I want to say stare down because it sounds dramatic, but it lasted maybe 0.6 seconds because the gator looked at us, we looked at the gator, and we just started backing up real slow.
Yeah.
Because you know gators are pretty fast.
Yeah, I've heard.
Yeah. And so you have to run serpentine if you're trying to escape a gator.
Wow.
There's my lesson for the day. There you go. Florida man with devil horns tattooed on his forehead arrested.
What? Why would that happen?
Well, just because. I think that's what should be happening. A man with devil horns tattooed on his forehead was arrested after deputies found brass knuckles and marijuana in the pockets of his pants.
Wow.
Would you expect anything less?
Brass knuckles and marijuana, though, those are two opposite ends of the spectrum. Like, he's not going to go get high and then punch somebody.
Maybe he's going to use the brass knuckles to get the marijuana.
Oh, that's probably why.
El Diablo comes up with his brass knuckles, you're going to fork over your grass.
That doesn't seem like a stoner thing, but then again, neither does devil horns.
Yeah, come on. Devil horns don't seem like anything that should be in society. If you've tattooed devil horns on your head, you've given up. You're a guy who should be carrying brass knuckles and marijuana because you're not going to be carrying a briefcase or a laptop.
But you might be carrying an XFL football.
Perhaps. And remember, XFL, we're your guys. Deputies say 48-year-old Jamie Knight, 48 years old. At what age do you think he got the devil horns tattooed on his head? Do you think at 48 he looks back to when he was 18 and he thought, you know, one night he was high on PCP and he thought, this is going to be a great idea, I'm getting devil horns tattooed on my head. And now at 48 he's like, man, maybe I should grow my hair out. This is my look. This is how people identify me. I can't give it up now. I'm 30 years invested in this look. I can't just run away. He was pulled over. Deputies found a clear plastic bag of marijuana in his front pocket. He admitted the marijuana was his and tested positive for THC. They also found a pair of silver brass knuckles. Those are the best kind. He told them that he carried the weapon for protection. Who is going to attack a guy with devil horns tattooed on his head? This is a guy who's never going to be messed with. Unless he comes across another guy with devil horns, bigger devil horns tattooed on his head.
Are they red?
I don't know. Unfortunately, there was not a picture from the Marion County, Florida Police Department.
This is a mess.
Yes. Knight was arrested on suspicion of marijuana possession of less than 20 grams and carrying a concealed weapon. Unlicensed. I didn't know you can license brass knuckles.
I know we got a break in like 30 seconds.
We are going to break.
Getting a lot of texts confused. I don't know if there was like a glitch the first 45 minutes of the show or something. Just a lot of people with a lot of questions about the first part of the 3 o'clock hour.
All right, well, maybe we'll answer those questions after the news.
All right, that's fine.
How about we do that? Would that be okay?
I just thought I'd let you know people are curious about something, so I don't know what was up. But yeah, we can talk
about
that.
We'll figure it out. But we got to do the news now. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. If you have a smart speaker as opposed to those dumb speakers that you used to have, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. It is 4 o'clock, and with the news, here's Pam Jones. Are you in fact ready for the big reveal? Brian Noonan, 720 WGN. Yes, we're early today because the White Sox were canceled due to snow in Kansas City. The game has been postponed. They will play a doubleheader later on in the season to make up for today's game. So instead of starting at 5, we started at 3. If you're just joining us and you missed the first portion of the show, we have some people who are a little upset about what was happening. Listen, it's Easter. It's Passover. Happy Easter. Happy Passover. But it is also April 1st. Sharon's been hanging on. Sharon, I know you were a little upset when things started out today.
I was, and I am so excited to be able to talk to you. I think you are one of the greatest on the radio, and I thought management must have lost their minds when they would have gotten rid of you. And so I just, you know, wanted to say, and I'm so glad it's April Fool's.
Well, it is April Fool's, and Sharon, thank you for the nice words, and I hope now you can settle back in and relax and have a good rest of the day.
Yes, and you too.
Thanks, Sharon.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Yes, happy Easter. As I said, happy Passover. Happy April Fool's Day. And let's, first of all, can I say thank you to the wonderful Dan Long, producer extraordinaire, produces the sports shows, produces a lot of things. Dan and I have worked together many times before, and Dan was gracious enough to stay around and help us facilitate the first part of the show, the April Fool's joke, which some people, I think you did well, Cody, because some people fell for it 100%. Or either one, I'm going to give you the props for pulling it off. But two, I think other people really realize that, there's a good chance I'm going to get canned any day. And they couldn't couldn't believe it happened on Easter, but, you know, whatever. It was just going to go.
No, thanks for going along with it. I told you, and I literally meant this, I have been waiting to do a show here, because we do weekends, right? I've only, in the 10 years I've been here, and I've been at WGN for 10 years, folks, in the 10 years I've been here with Brian, I work with him on weekends. So if April 1st doesn't fall on a weekend, then sorry about you, no April Fool's Day. So I have been charting my course and waiting. And every year, I think I probably looked ahead at this April last July. Yeah. Like, literally, there are random times in the year when I'll be like, oh, when is April Fool's Day again next year?
Yeah.
And so I have known about this, and I have been so excited. So the reason I didn't even go home to Rockford today is because I told my family, look, I've got a show at WGN on April Fool's Day. I have been wanting to do this since 2008.
Yes.
I am doing an April Fool's bit with Brian, and then you went along with it, and then
I think
it was convincing, too, since we literally had coworkers texting.
Yes. Thank you to CB and Double D, the Insatiable Insomniacs, and thank you to Christy Rhodes, my first producer here at WGN, also jumping in and helping us out with the gag. I know some people were angry because they believed it at first and then realized it was a joke, which is always the best kind of joke. If you hook somebody, and in the whole scheme of things, this is a joke that, unless you had a heart attack when you heard the news or died of happiness, this joke couldn't really hurt anybody. So it was, very nice.
Yeah, I tried to ham it up a little bit because it is Easter Sunday. And
sure. So you hammed it up?
I sure did. Well, I wanted it to be a nice day for people and people to enjoy their holiday. And if there's a Brian Noonan fan on Easter Sunday, I don't want them to have their heart broken. So I tried to make it just a little extra ridiculous, like, here comes dubstep hour. So maybe give away that we're joking.
But knowing you for this many years, people would be like, oh, Brian's gone, and he's finally going to get to do all the goofy stuff he's been threatening to do, and Brian thankfully had the wherewithal to put the kibosh on it.
This is what we've learned. The listener's expectation of if Cody Goff does a radio show is to actually play dubstep and just talk about video games.
Yeah, and bananas.
You know, I have hosts. Listen, listener, I did fill in for an airship on April 24th, or on February 24th last year, and I interviewed people. I was with the wonderful Craig Collins. We talked to a few people. I talked to Roger Badis, who was in the newsroom. We did a pretty solid radio show. Thank you very much. I am not just totally ridiculous caricature. Only on this show. Only when I'm with Brian. You bring it out in me.
Well, listen, it was quite a bit of fun. We were laughing hysterically in the other room watching you have the technical issues, because I know how frustrating that can be. You haven't, when you hosted, you were upstairs, so you haven't sat at this point.
No, when I hosted, I sat there.
Oh, you were here?
Yeah,
the phones are tricky.
One or two buttons have moved. And that's all. I don't want to get into all the technicals because no one cares.
Nobody cares.
But
behind the music.
But no, I generally knew what I was doing. Yeah, there were one or two things that have changed. Stuff's always changing around here.
Yeah,
and we're not even going to be in this building in a couple months.
That's true. And because it was late, short notice that we were going to be here, we didn't have a lot of time to get into the studio because the game was postponed, and we were all out for Easter brunch, which was exciting. You came with us, and my lovely, CB, very upset that I say wife and daughter, the wife and daughter were there as well. It's funny when you... those guys all played along because I was like, Amy was like, boy, you're getting roasted by these your former coworkers. I'm like, isn't that what you do? Somebody gets fired, then you start talking trash about them nonstop. Well, that guy, what a tool when he was here. Blah blah blah. So I was like, wow, it's coming a little too easy. Coming a little too easy.
That was so nice of her to stick around too.
Yes, that was very nice.
Amy even hung out, and
Amy hung out. It was a lot of fun. So if you're just joining us. And you're seeing, people are posting on the Facebook page, they can't believe I was fired on Easter, and other people were texting in and sending that. First of all, to the people who were upset that I had been fired, thank you. That makes me feel good that you're upset that I wasn't going to be here. For those of you who are rejoicing in the fact that I was gone, thank you for at least listening. That's great too. We're so happy you're gone. We've been listening for years and we hate you. Perfect. That works too.
I will be posting the first hour of the show as a specific podcast.
You're using that as your demo now, aren't you? To try to actually get this show. Hey, listen, I did pretty well in that time slot. I don't know if you heard me for 40 minutes. I had it. I had it under control. Got a little flustered when Bob from Wilmette called in and Jim from Plainfield. You didn't really want to talk to those guys.
Surprising.
Yeah, shocking. Shocking. Well, we're glad you're here on Easter because usually you do not work on the holidays. And if you're just joining us, we will have the saddest Easter story ever. That has been requested. So, and much was made about ham during the first portion of this program. But we will do the saddest Easter story ever coming up after 5 o'clock, and then we will talk about fubbing. Yes, fubbing after 6. I don't know if you know what that is. And we have another regular guy theater review. You didn't go to the show with me this week, so I will be doing the theater review by myself. But Today is Easter and Passover. If you want to get involved in the program, 312-981-7200. See, as a replacement, you forgot to give the numbers and everything, Cody. 312-981-7200. That's how you get a hold of us. That's the phone. That's the text.
I didn't want people calling Dan nonstop.
They were calling Dan. Poor Dan. Dan was like, oh, yeah, I'll stick around and help with the technical. He didn't realize he was going to have to field angry phone calls from people. And I heard him like, I don't know any more than you do. I'm so sorry. I'm not even supposed to be here. I was, I'm supposed to be off. I don't know anything. And he was doing great. He never broke.
I wouldn't have gone with it. If I was in the booth, I would have been like, hey, it's Neighbor Fool's thing. Don't worry about it. And, I would have tried to placate people. I cannot believe he went along with it. That sounds like a nightmare.
Oh,
to
no.
Me.
It wasn't. And he handled it with a plum.
What a pro.
And a tangerine. He was unbelievable.
Wow. And a banana?
No, not a banana. Who would talk about bananas for 30 minutes?
No idea.
Good Lord. That was painful. And I knew it was fake. Catherine O'Connell, our good friend Catherine O'Connell, texting. And she fell for it hook, line, and sinker. From the 847, they fell for it too. Well, good. That means Cody did a good job. And we had a lot of fun. All right, so how much did people spend on Easter this year? Unbelievable.
Easter spending.
Yes, because you got to get... all right, so, daughter, Molly, 21. Right?
Daughter.
Now I'm just going to say it just to upset CB. So Molly's home for spring break. She's 21 years old. The other day... And it's funny, before, because she wasn't originally coming home for spring break. Then she was coming home. And so I said to wife, I said, hey, wife, are we going to get her an Easter basket? And I was kind of joking, because I was like, well, she's 21. Does she need an Easter basket? Well, I guess the other day she said something, a daughter said something to wife, and she said, are you getting me an Easter basket? And so wife said that to me. And I was like, see, thankfully, I knew exactly where her old Easter basket was. But I was like, I would have gotten her a little something for Easter anyway, some candy or something. I don't know if I would have done the full-fledged basket. But do you still, your mom doesn't make you in baskets anymore, does she? Like, if you had gone home today to Rockford, would your mom have made you a basket?
No.
No. Would she have had, like, a Fannie Mae egg for you or something? Some Reese's eggs, whatever it is you like?
My mom decorates... our household, so it becomes the holiday.
Okay.
For most holidays, so I'm sure there's little baskets of eggs everywhere. There's little bowls of various candy everywhere. She's probably got an Easter wreath with eggs in it. My mom's Christmas trees look better than the Christmas trees you see at like Macy's downtown. I'm not nice. Exaggerating. She's her decorations are immaculate, and I'm sure that Easter is the same. So there'll be little bowls here and there, and just Eastered out.
So the place is all decorated, but she won't.
And candy, but not an Easter basket. Okay. And I got a couple Easter baskets growing up. It wasn't a central thing. It wasn't an every year thing.
Even when you were a kid?
When I was a kid, I got a few, but it wasn't an every year like. Oh,
really?
Easter basket. Probably when I was little, up to 8 or 9, but it went away relatively. Because, they have 4 kids.
That's early.
Yeah.
That's early to not have an Easter basket.
I was a pretty spoiled kid growing up. I didn't really need...
You didn't need the Easter basket?
No. Well, and my birthday is April 4th, so it's always close.
Okay.
Close
Easter's early this year. Easter's a couple weeks early.
Yeah.
I'm turning 30 this year. My mom still makes me and my 27-year-old brother Easter baskets. That from the 219. I'm 52 from the 815, and my mom gives me an Easter basket every year.
Aww.
Yeah. I will say, in the last couple years, when Molly hasn't been around, I've missed not making an Easter basket. So, my wife ordered some, and I went out and I got some candy, and I got her, she loves this Cane's chicken fingers because they're all over New Orleans, and they opened one not far from the house. So we got her that and a few other little things. And it was kind of fun doing it again. To go back, after everybody went to bed last night, go down in the basement and get the grass out and, after I did a couple get the Easter grass out and make the basket up and have it there ready. And she was, I will say, she was duly excited when she got up this morning. She saw it. I left it right there where she'd see it first thing when she came out of her room, and she was very excited. So that was a nice little thing, because we hadn't had that in a while, and I missed it. Just like I miss at Christmas having little kids around. So people spend a lot. They spend a lot on baskets. Easter shopping this year, how much? I will tell you on the other side here at WGN.
How much?
much are we spending? I love these. The National Retail Federation comes out with these lists before every holiday, and they tell you what you're spending. Now, you would think Easter, people are going to spend some. You know, you buy some candy. Maybe you buy a nice Easter bonnet with all the frills upon it so you can be the finest girl in the Easter parade. I don't know what you're up to on Easter. We are going to spend, as Americans, according to the National Retail Federation, $18.2 billion. On Easter, $18.2 billion. That's behind the record of $18.4 billion spent last year. This Easter expected to represent the second highest spending level on record for the holiday. 312-981-7200. Are you spending your share, ladies and gentlemen? Because the average person is going to spend $150 on Easter. I'll break it down how we're spending it, but $150. Is that what you're spending? I know I didn't. Did I come close to that? Because I bought a little something for my wife. Because did you get anything for your wife for Easter?
No.
She had a little something.
She's out of town.
I know, but she's going to come home. Maybe.
Yeah.
Unless it's April Fool's. I'm coming home. Ha ha. Click.
That's what she gets for leaving so long. She doesn't
get it. Is that right?
Wow. Does this include brunch?
I don't know. Oh, if we're including brunch, I'm over.
That I get. Because not everybody gets an Easter basket, but I could see these numbers easily if you count brunch, because everybody goes to brunch.
$5.7 billion on food. This is how it breaks down. So I'm guessing food, whether you go out or if you're cooking a meal at home for family. Nice ham, big ham, honey baked or something, pineapple on top, cloves. Enough to make me vomit. $3.2 billion on clothing. Sure, you have to have your Easter finery. It was so funny to see today at brunch all the kids whose parents had bought them really cute Easter outfits. You know, when you have a little boy, you buy him the vest the whole day. Everybody looks cute, and the little girls all look cute. And then they had to put on these giant winter coats. Everybody I talk to, and I say, man, it's too bad we all have to wear such heavy coats on Easter. Everybody said the same thing.
Well, it could be worse.
Shut up, Susie Sunshine.
Could be worse. Could be worse. How? Well, it could have a lot of snow.
Yeah, we could. But it's also kind of sucky that it's 30 degrees on Easter. But that's just me. All right. So we spend $3.2 billion on clothing. We spend $2.9 billion on gifts. $2.6 billion on candy. That makes sense. A lot of Reese's eggs getting bought this year. The house. That's the fan favorite for daughter. Had to go there. I buy the stuff she likes. She likes those Whoppers Robin's eggs, which are good, and the Reese's eggs. She also likes from Fannie Mae they're like white chocolate, but they're either yellow or pink, and they make them into either bunnies or chicks, and they're on a sucker stick, you know? Which were a staple when I was growing up. And my daughter likes them, but she likes the idea of them because I don't think she ever ate them. I think I always ended up eating them. So yesterday I go to Fannie Mae, and I know it's the day before Easter, but all they had were the pink bunnies. And they've changed the look of them. They used to look like Peter Cottontail kind of. Now they're just goofy emoji bunnies.
Hopping down the bunny trail?
Yeah, you know, hippity hoppity, because Easter's on its way.
Sure is.
But they've changed them. So, and they were out of the chicks. And I said to the two, and I don't know where they find the lovely women who work at Fannie Mae, but that's one place. If you're over 75, you can always get a job at Fannie Mae. I have never been in a Fannie Mae store where there is somebody who's not like, rivaling Sister Jean for the, chronological employment award. These women were advanced in years. And it's great because they love it. They're at Fannie Mae. They're having a great time. Sir, would you like a sample of a mint melt away? You bet I would, Grandma. And then I popped it in, and we had a nice conversation about the, making a Easter basket for your 21-year-old daughter and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Because they love to talk. What else are they going to do? You're sitting there and going to, you know, some diabetic frenzy, eating candy all day. Now they've got, you know, a strapping young man like me strolling in. And that's sad when I'm the strapping young man. When I qualify as the strapping youngster that comes strolling in. You know, we've skewed the demographic a little northward. But they were very nice. But long story longer, they were out of the little the chicks.
How do you feel about Cadbury cream eggs?
I don't know if honestly I have ever eaten a Cadbury cream egg.
Dude, am I going to run across to Walgreens during the break? Is that what's going to happen?
Well, unless Walgreens is listening and they or Cadbury. Somebody from England is listening, which I'll be in October with Steve Bertrand Travel. Email Steve at Steve Bertrand Travel. We'll be there October 11th to the 20th. Seats are going fast. Wow.
That was great.
Seamless.
That was seamless.
Thank you. No, I've never had one.
I got one at 7-Eleven the other day, and wife said something about not loving them. But,
really?
Yeah, I just, there's...
I don't know if I've consciously avoided them because they look kind of creepy to me. And I don't like real egg yolk, so I don't know if I would like candy egg yolk.
Here's a question for you.
All right.
Around Christmas time, like 2 weeks before Christmas, we did a podcast with your daughter, and she went to that Walgreens to try to get us some eggnog, and
right.
They didn't even know what eggnog was.
No.
So what are the chances they'll have Cadbury cream eggs?
Oh, Cadbury cream eggs are almost omnipresent during
dude,
this time of year.
Eggnog,
I like that now you've called me dude twice,
dude.
Like we're hosting the 420 hour. And it's 425, so this would mean we'd be coming right off your bong hits. So that's perfect. Cody does a couple rips, and then I am dude for the rest of the program. Yes?
No, eggnog is quintessential for the holiday season.
I understand.
So, do you think that they're going to have Cadbury cream egg? Like, how would it be weird if they did have cream eggs, but they didn't have eggnog?
No. No, I would imagine they would have the Cadbury, the Cadbury cream eggs.
All right.
I don't know. How are we going to check? Are you really going to row over there? Are they worth that much?
We got the news in like 4 minutes, and they're a dollar, so yeah.
Okay, I'm not. Listen, I got a dollar burning a hole in my pocket. I don't know if you heard, I didn't get fired today.
Oh, sure.
I got a dollar. I'm good to go. What else are we spending our money on? $1.3 billion on flowers, sure. $1.1 billion on decorations. That's your mom. Half of that's your mom. The $1.1 billion on decorations.
That might be true.
$780 million on greeting cards. That's a racket. The whole greeting card industry. God bless you, Hallmark and American Greetings, but you're running a hustle on the American people that is unparalleled. My wife gets mad at me now if I buy her a greeting card. Yeah, I do not buy cards for her, and if I have to buy a card for somebody else, I always go to the 99-cent rack. I will not pay full price. I'm not paying $4.99 for a card that somebody's going to open up as a gateway to their gift. Because let's be honest, nobody cares what's in that card. They want to get to the box. They're just like, oh, especially, we went to my niece's birthday the other day, 5 years old. Of course she's not going to, she doesn't care about that card. She just wants what's in the wrapped up box. But I wasted a dollar on a card instead of just scrawling my name on the package like a lunatic. Oh, is this from Uncle Brian? Yeah, why is it signed in blood? I don't know, he's just that way. So, no greeting cards.
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, see, Pam? Pam, were you confused at the beginning? Did you fall?
Oh, my gosh, they got me so good. Like, at first, I was like, when I heard, oh, we've got a recording of the firing, I'm like, wait a minute, this never happens.
Yeah, well.
And then when the expletives started flying, I was like, okay.
That was what tipped it in for you?
Well, yeah, but every now and then, I'd get into my news, I'd be trying to write the news and scrambling to get stuff together, and I'd be here listening out of one ear, and I'd be like, oh, wait, I gotta hear what's going on the air, this is wait a minute, they got me again.
Well, good. So you don't buy greeting cards either?
Man, every once in a while, I get, like, forced into it, mm-hmm. peer forced or community
yes.
forced into it. I get guilted by my mom. Did you send so-and-so a card? Really?
Right.
Because, like, they see it for 2 seconds and it's in the trash, you know?
Yeah.
And I hate it. And you know what else I hate? And people are going to hate me for this. I hate the families that send me family photos.
Oh.
I don't have kids.
Okay.
And I hate it because I love to keep up with them. But then I feel guilty about throwing them away. Because how do you throw somebody's family away?
You know what? We're having that conversation at home. I was cleaning the office yesterday, and I found my wife had saved the stack of Christmas cards with all the pictures.
Oh.
And I'm like, what are we doing with
right?
these? We have everybody's
you
address.
Toss them.
Yes.
Like, but I feel guilty about it.
Well, see, and now we know that you do it, so now we're going to keep checking on you.
Oh.
And Cody is actually taking a family picture of this show, and we're going to send it to you, and we expect you to keep
it
forever.
I'll keep that picture.
All right. But yeah, I'm with you, because you don't... I hate throwing out pictures, but you know, it wasn't like they took this one especially for you.
Right. And
oh,
you're
let's
get
take a picture
one.
For Pam. Yeah, we're going to get another one. They're going to be a year older.
Right.
Somebody's going to be taller. Somebody's going to lose a tooth. I
exactly.
get it. Time goes on. We got you.
Oh, and don't let my mom come in the house and see somebody else's family greeting card from Christmas or whatever with their picture on it, and I didn't send them a card. Oh, did you send this family a card? I'm like... No, because I sent nobody a card.
Right. You know how long I feel guilty about that? About 6 seconds.
Right.
I go, hey, did we send them a card? No.
And then it's wasted postage, too. I mean, really?
Yeah. I'm not... Somebody texting in, this might work for both of us, Pam. The Dollar Tree has cards for 50 cents.
Okay.
That's about what I'll spend. I'll spend up to 99 cents for a greeting card.
And I'll tell you the story about that.
Uh-oh.
Before you go in there, just be prepared. Don't count on that as your last and final hope, because when you go in there, the kind of card you need probably won't be on the shelf anymore.
I tried
to buy a sympathy card for a family in a pretty terrible murder that happened recently.
Oh,
and went in there to find a card, because I knew they were going to get thousands of cards from people, and they had no sympathy cards, not one.
Well, sure. That's because if you're shopping for your cards at the dollar store, there's a chance you know a lot of people who are going through tragedies.
Right.
Oh, that's
that.
Well, then, that's one of those things you have to go in and stock up for anything that may happen down the road. Oh, my niece is going to turn 10 in 5 years. I better get a 10-year-old greeting card. And somebody may get sick or, God forbid, die. But then where are you going to keep them?
Right.
You know where you keep them?
I don't know. I know I have some sympathy cards somewhere. I don't know where they are.
Keep them in the drawer that you used to keep all those pictures in. Throw out the cards with the pictures.
I used to put those on the refrigerator with a magnet.
Oh, jeez. Well, on the other side of the news, we are going to talk about free-range parenting. And what is the age when you think kids can do things on their own? So we'll get into all of that. But right now it's 4:30. And with the news, the woman who will not be sending you a card, so don't hold your breath, it's not coming. Here's Pam Jones. It's people still reeling from our little joke at the beginning of the show. From the 630, I finally figured out that the Brian Noonan firing was an April Fool's joke, but I do want you to know that I was so upset, I turned off 720 and turned on another station. Hopefully they're back. So good to have you, and yes, happy April Fool's Day. Cody is somewhere in the midst of running to get those Cadbury eggs. Hopefully he brought enough to share with everybody, but he's going to do that. I don't want to be a killjoy on Easter, but if you're eyeing your Easter basket or your children's Easter basket, waiting for them to go to bed like you do with their Halloween candy, let me just throw this out here. As a man who is struggling not to steal all my daughter's candy, and I may or may not have bought a package of Reese's eggs for myself and put them in the freezer, but that's neither here nor there. Your child's Easter basket likely contains more than a month's worth of recommended sugar intake. Of course it does. Oh, you got the. Is that the full size one? Or is that the. All right, so those are the full size ones? Thank you, Cody. Cody's back. He's got some Cadbury eggs. We'll try those in a minute. So, all right, I won't spend a lot of time killing your buzz, said the man who is about to eat a Cadbury egg, which let's just jump to it. A Cadbury egg, 20 grams of sugar, and a mini Cadbury cream egg will set you back 21 grams of sugar. So the fondant cream-filled milk chocolate egg contains more sugar across the pond. UK news outlets have reported that the treat has 26 grams of sugar. And you may say, Brian, how many grams of sugar should we have? Well, the average adult should have about 25 grams of sugar a day. So we're supposed to go by the serving size. Let me see if they put this on the label. They probably don't. What the serving size is. Oh, it's on there, but it's all. Yeah. So anyway, I'm sure a Cadbury cream egg is supposed to be like two servings. But who's eating those in half? Chocolate bunnies, solid chocolate bunnies are the worst. A Dove milk chocolate Easter bunny at 12 ounces, which is what I put in daughter's basket, 192 grams of sugar. Now, be honest. If you sit down with a solid chocolate bunny, you're eating the whole thing, correct? You're not just going. We used to get the Fannie Mae ones, the ones that were about, I don't know, what's that, maybe 4-6 inches tall. There was not a chance I wasn't eating the whole thing.
I could eat part of one these days.
Maybe I could eat half.
Yeah, that's
but
what
then
I'm saying.
15 minutes later, I'm eating the other half.
Really?
It's not. Oh,
that's a lot of chocolate,
dude. Now I'm saying, dude, my friend, that's why it's like kryptonite to me. Sweets are my kryptonite. I'm either crazed or I can't have them, and I'm not equating it to any other sort of addiction. But there is, I do get a physical reaction when I eat it. Yesterday, Molly had been at Target, and she brought home a bag of M&M eggs, which is basically M&M chocolate. Well, it's basically an M&M that looks like an egg. And she opened the bag, and I had a couple, and then I couldn't stop. I was like a dog. I was going to eat till I passed out. But if I don't have any of the sweets, then I'm okay. But once I have one, like once I eat this Cadbury egg, I'm going to turn into the Hulk. You're going to have to go out to the candy store next door and just bring in more candy. So you're supposed they say better because suggested serving size is an eighth of the bunny, an eighth of a 12-ounce bunny. That's not happening. Go for dark chocolate hollow bunnies. They say are better. Jelly beans, 21 grams of sugar and 27 beans. Marshmallow Peeps. Oh, boy. The chick-shaped marshmallows equal 34 grams of sugar for a suggested serving size of 5. I can see not eating more than 5 Peeps. Then your teeth start to hurt. Peanut butter eggs, 20 grams of sugar. Their larger 6-ounce eggs, 92 grams of sugar. Oh, my gosh. And malted milk balls, 20 grams of sugar for just 4 pieces. Whopper's eggs, 23 grams for a serving size of 12. Well, I'm gonna laminate this and just carry it with me for the next few days. Thankfully, Molly goes back to school tomorrow. So I told her anything she bought, any treats, are going back with her. Put them in your suitcase, get them out of my house. So there we go. All right. Utah has passed a law. I don't know if you remember, a few years ago, there was a huge story it happened in 2008, so it's 10 years ago now. A woman in New York wrote a story about how she had given her young son money so he could take the train home. He was 9 years old at the time. So they were at a department store. She gave him $20 and some quarters for a payphone and left him in Bloomingdale's in New York City. He wanted, his big thing, this was the kid's idea, he wanted to get home by himself, which meant she said, I trusted him to figure out that he could take the Lexington Avenue subway down and the 34th Street crosstown bus home. If he couldn't do that, I trusted him to ask a stranger, and then I even trusted that stranger not to think, gee, I was about to catch my train home, but now I think I'll abduct this adorable child instead. So this started a whole big debate. She called it free-range parenting. And that is a label that has been picked up over the years by different parenting groups, and it has been bandied about by different states because, you remember, we've seen a lot of these stories where people will leave their kids alone. And I'm not talking about the people who leave their, 4-year-old alone for 3 weeks while they go to the Caribbean. I'm talking about people who, left their 10-year-old and 6-year-old at home and went to the grocery store and then DCFS was called. Or there were kids, one of the stories not too long ago, there were two kids who were walking home from the park by themselves. And their parents got called, and then the police were called, and then it was a whole big thing to get the kids back. So various states have started researching a free-range parenting law that would protect children. And the latest one to look at it and actually pass it is Utah. And who would have thought progressive thought was coming out of Utah? I don't know why. It surprises me a little bit, but it is. So Governor Gary Herbert, who is a Republican, signed the Free Range Parenting Bill into law after it passed unanimously in both chambers of Utah's legislature. It is believed to be the first such law in the United States. Now, who was it? Arkansas tried to do it last year, but they voted it down. So here's the thing. One of the cornerstones of this law is children being of sufficient age. And we'll get into some of the specifics of the law. But my question to you is, what do you believe, if you have kids at home or your kids are grown or you were a child, what is sufficient age for children to be allowed to do things such as stay at home by themselves for a short amount of time, walk to and from school by themselves, walk to the store by themselves? Now, It's hard for me to answer that without sounding like one of those, I'll tell you what, Cody, back in my day, I did everything by myself. Because it was true. I got on the bus when I was 13 from the far south suburbs to come into high school on Roosevelt Road. I took the bus, then I took a train, then I took another bus. Now, granted, the first day my dad showed me, drove me to where he drove me to school, showed me where the bus stop was down at Roosevelt and Michigan, showed me where I'd get off, so there was some guidance, but then I was on my own. And when I was younger, we lived not too far from the plaza. So I would walk or ride my bike up to the grocery store. We would go to the movie theater that was not far from the house by ourselves. We would go to Ben Franklin, where they had the penny candy. We'd go there by ourselves. We did all sorts of stuff by ourselves. And, I don't know if that's free-range parenting or the fact that my mom had 5 kids, and it was like, just go. Maybe you'll get lost, whatever. I've got 4 more. If something happens to you, I'll be sad for a day or two, but then, the other 4 will take your place. But we did, I would ride my bike in 6th, 7th, 8th grade to my friend's house in other towns, So I say that, and I know what it sounds like. I know I sound like every
old man who's going, you kids today are so coddled, negative, blah, blah. But it's kind of true, in a way. So, at what age do you let your kids go? I'll give you the specifics on this law, but free-range parenting, it caused a huge, huge uproar when it first became a thing 10 years ago, and it is rearing its head again. Utah becoming the first state to protect parents who are free-range parents. We'll get into the details of it on the other side. It's WGN. Free-range parenting, that's what we're talking about, because Utah has just passed a law that says it's okay to be a free-range parent, and they are the first in the nation to do so. So the measure, which was sponsored by Utah Senator Lincoln Fillmore, exempts from the definition of child neglect various activities children can do without supervision, permitting, quote, a child whose basic needs are met and who is of sufficient age and maturity to avoid harm or unreasonable risk of harm to engage in independent activities, end quote. So there's the key question. What is sufficient age? So, 312-981-7200, what do you think a sufficient age is to, let's say, have your child take public transportation by themselves, or to have your child walk to the store by themselves, or walk to school by themselves? According to Utah, the activities include letting children, quote, walk, run, or bike to and from school, travel to commercial or recreational facilities, play outside, and remain at home unattended, end quote. So they don't say, Utah doesn't say what sufficient age is. They're still leaving that up to the parents. But they're also saying that, listen, if you see some kids walking to the park or the store, don't call the cops because, you know, unless you think these kids are in danger. But if, you know, if the kid looks happy and clean and healthy, that's, you know, that's it. Under the law, state child welfare authorities can no longer take children away from their parents if their kids are caught doing those various activities alone, as long as the kids are adequately fed, clothed, and cared for. So again, this isn't giving carte blanche to parents to abandon their children, but I think it's a very good step, because not, oh, hey, kids are too soft. I think there's a point where you have to give the kids some sort of independence. Now, that might be depending on where you live. Of course, if your 8-year-old has to cross a bunch of busy streets to get to school, of course, then you're going to take that into account. If your kid would have to go through, I don't know, somewhere that you deem very dangerous to take public transportation, of course you're going to take that into consideration. But if you live 2 blocks from the park and you live in a halfway decent area, your kid is, I don't know, 8, and they're going with a couple friends, I don't see anything wrong with that. You know? Now, that doesn't mean that if you do, you're wrong. It just also means that the authorities can't come after me because I've deemed that my kids are old enough and responsible enough, and I am comfortable enough with our environment to allow them to do that by themselves. As a society, according to the senator who sponsored this, as a society, we've kind of erred as our pendulum has swung for child safety a little bit too much to the side of helicopter parenting. We want kids to be able to learn how to navigate the world so when they're adults, they're fully prepared to handle things on their own, end quote. And I believe this. That makes perfect sense to me. Now, when our daughter was young, when she was real little, of course, we didn't, I would take her places. But then when she got a little older, you know, we lived in a nice neighborhood. There were a lot of kids her age in the neighborhood. So the kids would go out and play, and we would know basically where they were. But we also knew all our neighbors were kind of looking out for the kids, too. So there wasn't that. And then as she got to be, you know, maybe 7th, 8th grade, it was, hey, can we ride our bikes into town? Which meant going on a little path through the woods, you know, a walking path. It's a regular path. And the first time I was a little nervous, but then I caught myself and I said, well, first of all, she's smart. She's going with a couple other kids. She has a phone. Nothing's going to happen. You know, we're all afraid of stranger danger, but the numbers prove out that it's not stranger danger who usually is the one who's snatching kids. So, you know, I tried to put that out of my mind and I let her start doing things. And because I did a lot of stuff at a young age, I kind of freed her up to do the same thing. The law
All right. State officials and lawmakers have said that Utah was not in the business anyway of arresting parents for letting their kids walk around the neighborhood alone. Lawmakers were driven to pass the law after hearing of cases in other states. The law would conceivably have protected parents like Danielle and Alexander Maitiv, who were charged with child neglect twice in 2015 for letting their kids ages 10 and 6 walk home by themselves from a Silver Spring, Maryland park. And that's the case I was talking about earlier. 10 and 6 is plenty old enough to walk home from the park. And if you don't think your kids can walk home from the park, well, then you take them. But don't judge other people who say, my kids can do it. And don't wish them ill and go, well, I hope nothing ever happens to their kids. Don't even put that out there. You know, things can happen even if you're supervising. So to allow kids to walk home is fine. And I also think when you're 10, if your mom or dad has to run to the store or is going out for a couple hours, as long as you have phone numbers, now we have everybody is in constant contact with each other. When I was young, and maybe I'm sure when you were young too, if you were quote unquote babysitting your siblings, you had to count on a regular phone. And if you didn't have the number, well, you know, we all knew how to call the police. We all knew how to call the fire department. Every kid has a cell phone. If you're going to leave them at home, they have a phone. They know how to get in touch with you. So I think that's fine. I don't think you should leave a kid if you're going away for the weekend, just like you wouldn't leave your pets. You have to have a child at some point needs somebody to take care of themselves. But at 10, 12, if you have younger siblings, you should be old enough to watch out for them without having your kids having to worry about the police being called on mom and dad because they left me alone. Plus, if you're calling the police on your mom and dad because they went to Jewel and left you at home, mom and dad probably aren't coming back because they're going to be so mad at you. They're just going to leave you. Jenster is in Rockford. Hi, Jenster.
Hello. Hi, Brian. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah, I was just telling our pal Cody from Rockford, where I hail from, that young innocent days gone by where you can't take your kids across the street in order to play softball, whatever you want to call it. And I did that many. It was a ritual growing up. My mother right here behind me would back me up on it, where my late grandmother would have a park across the street like and watch us from her window and play baseball and softball with one another sisters and, you know, us kids.
Yeah, well, see, you got it.
Yeah, so, yeah, that was the end. I called it young, innocent, young days gone by. I love it.
Yeah, it's nice.
I wish you could do that today.
I do too, Jenster, but, you know, some people don't like those innocent days gone by. They want the new days where everybody is completely watched over.
I understand, but I'm listening up to a point.
Yeah, me too. Well, Jenster, have a great afternoon. Thank you for the call.
Is it possible I could have your autograph picture with you, Tony?
We'll have to, you know what, I'll put you on hold. We'll have to get what you know, the station will not spring for nice headshots of Cody and I. So we may have to.
Why not?
Ah, listen, you know. Money's tight. Resources are tight, Jenster. I understand. All right, we'll talk. Thank you for the call, Jenster. Have a happy Easter, happy Passover, whatever you are celebrating today. Happy April Fool's Day. Totally agree with you about the 10-year-old being home alone for a few hours. Unfortunately, the state of Illinois disagrees, and neglect is anyone under 13 being alone. That is ridiculous. I was babysitting for people by then. Yeah, me too. And it's not neglect. If your kids are in good health, they're fed, they're clothed, they're clean, and you just went to the store, and they're 10, 11, 12, and you believe them to be responsible enough? That's not our business. So good for you, Utah, for passing this law, enabling free-range parenting to a point. All right, let's do this. That'll be news time, WGN. Some sort of crazy dubstep from Dubstep Hour, or some video game music. What do you think you're taking over?
A little bit of both. Yeah.
All right. Just a couple of, what is it? Besides annoying.
It's a dubstep remix of The Lost Woods from The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Well, of course. That was going to be my second guess.
Sure.
After annoying. All right. 312-981-7200. You want to get involved in the program? We're going to talk about fubbing later. We've got a regular guy theater review coming up. and the saddest Easter story ever in just a few minutes. But a couple of texts regarding the free-range parenting that we were talking about right before the news. Brian, so glad you're not fired. We used to walk to the Foster Avenue beach from the Bryn Mawr stop in the 70s, and I was 5 years old. These kids are weak. That's from Danny. I went out and stayed out from the 815. I went out and stayed out sometimes all day. I'm 65. My kids in the 70s could walk to the neighborhood park at the age of 5 or 6. My 10-year-old granddaughter can't imagine her going anywhere by herself. It's all relative. And last one, I grew up in the 40s when my older brother started kindergarten. I missed his company. So at age 4, I walked the 2 blocks to school and entered through the front door. I'll never forget the oh no expression on my brother's face when the principal escorted me to his classroom. After a quick phone call from the principal, my mother evacuated me from the premises. I can recall that I was mildly scolded, but that look on my brother's face was the ultimate punishment. So there you go. Free-range parenting. What's the day? All right, so it is Easter, and as if you've been listening to this program for any length of time, years-wise, you know this day is fraught with peril for me, because it brings back very sad memories. Before we get to that, I will say I tried one of these Cadbury cream eggs, Cody. It was quite delicious.
Did you? You enjoyed it?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It's good. Yeah, it was very good.
I haven't eaten mine yet.
I had one. Brunch must have been very salty, because I'm feeling like I need to drink about 48 gallons of water.
Yeah, there's also no moisture in this in this studio.
Right. So I don't think I'll be eating any more chocolate for, you know, because I want to be able to speak for the rest of the program.
Well, I'm going to eat mine.
You should eat yours. You should eat yours, because it's delicious.
All right.
But anyway, this is a story that I share. And people, this is what surprised me. I got a couple messages yesterday from people asking if I was going to tell this story today. Because they know Easter on the Brian Noonan Show means it's time for the saddest Easter story ever. No, not dubstep. Dubstep doesn't go with the saddest Easter story ever. Are you insane? All right, so the year 1975. A young Brian Noonan, fifth grader, St. Kieran's Elementary School in Chicago Heights, Illinois. The Saturday night, Holy Saturday, my mother prepares a giant dinner for the entire family. Myself, my four brothers, my father, consisting of one of my father's favorite meals, the ham off the bone. Big ham. My mom would, do it with the brown sugar on it and the pineapple rings, the whole nine. She cooked it up. She had all the sides. Everything was doing well. A little background on me. I have never liked ham. And to this day, I still don't like ham. Asterisk, sidebar, when I went to Spain, I tried the Serrano ham. Loved it. Different thing altogether, though. Completely different than the sweet ham that I was brought up on. And I tried it a number of times in my youth, this leading up to me being 8. So in my younger years, I had tried it and did not like it, and made no secret of the fact that I didn't like eating ham. Well, this Saturday night, this Holy Saturday, was different somehow in our house, because we were all sitting around the rectangular kitchen table, my brother Dennis and I on a bench on one side of the table. For some reason, my brother Michael got the end of the table all to himself, maybe because he was messy or he didn't play well with others. Then across from me was my dad and my brother Kieran. Then my brother Patrick sat at the other end with my mom. Still don't know why Michael got his own end of the table. Out of the 7 of us, Michael got to sit there by himself. But that's not the point of the story. That's something I take up with a therapist maybe somewhere down the line. But right now, I just let it go. So my mom makes this whole dinner, and I'll say now, I know she's out of town, so she can't hear it. She was frazzled all the time, because she had the 5 of us, and we were lunatics. We made the Lord of the Flies look like, a tame after-school program. So she cooks this big dinner, and everybody's eating and enjoying themselves, except for me. And for some reason, this upset my mom that night, that I would not eat the ham. Any other time, she didn't care if we ate or not. I mean, she was one of those moms who would even make you something else, which I would never do now, but she would do that. For some reason, on this Holy Saturday, man, the ham was it. And if I wasn't eating the ham that she had sweat over all Saturday afternoon while doing everything else that had to be done in the house, there was going to be some trouble. So I don't know. I don't know to this day what made my mom cry that evening. But she started crying out of frustration or anger or futility or any number of other reasons that I would not eat this ham. And I said, I'm not eating the ham. So that's my dad is getting madder and madder. And my mom is like, please just eat some. Take one bite of the ham. No, I'm not eating the ham. Because a young Brian Noonan, just as stubborn as an old Brian Noonan. Perhaps more so, because now, with advanced years, I can see that actions have consequences. At 8, I might have theoretically known that actions have consequences, but I also didn't care, because I was stupid. So now, my mom's getting more and more upset, crying, because for some reason her oldest son refuses her ham, and this is breaking her heart. So she's weeping and weeping. My dad now is furious. And between puffs on his cigarette is like, you eat that ham or you're not getting an Easter basket. I'll let the dramatic music fill the pause. Now, I hesitate to ask if you were faced with that threat, what would you have done? Cody, what would you have done if your dad, who probably would never do this because your parents seem a little more rational, had threatened you with lack of an Easter basket, which we know you didn't get every year. But if you didn't eat your food, what would you have done? Would you have given in?
Maybe. It depends. It's hard to say. Because I don't know. Sometimes meat was really hard to eat when I was little.
Well, you didn't have your teeth?
I don't know what was
up. You just
up.
Didn't like eat
meat? I just remember one time they served me, it must have been a tough piece of steak or something, and I'd chewed it for literally what felt like 20
minutes. Yes.
One bite?
That's why I don't eat pepper steak to this day.
Really?
Yep, hate it.
And then I'm eventually like, I gotta go to the bathroom. I went in the bathroom and spit it out in the trash can. I couldn't chew it down to swallow.
Yeah, you just chew it, and then all it is a ball of gristle in your mouth.
But that said, ham's not like that. But if I was in a similar situation with a meat like that that I had that relationship with, then I don't know. I don't know
it's
what.
It's hard to say.
I would have said I couldn't do it.
I could. Well, I didn't say I couldn't do it. I said I wouldn't do it. Open defiance.
That's the difference.
That's my stock in trade.
Yeah.
Open defiance of my father. Unfortunately, it didn't end with the ham, but those are stories for another time. So I'm thinking, I'm 8, 7, 8, I don't know. I'm thinking there's no chance that you're keeping an Easter basket from me. First of all, you don't have that power because A, the Easter Bunny brings the baskets, duh, and B, nobody could be that heartless and cruel. Boy, did I underestimate my parents. They could, in fact, be that heartless and cruel because... we went to bed, my brothers and I. Now, here was the layout. We would put all our empty baskets in front of the couch. And we had a really long couch. It's still in my mom's house in the living room. So all 5 of our baskets would be laid out empty in front of the couch. We would go to bed. And then during the night, of course, the Easter Bunny would come and fill them with various trinkets. One year, as my brother was... When my brother was, I think, a senior in high school or a freshman in college, the Easter Bunny left him a carton of Cools in his Easter basket. Sure, because at that point, the Easter Bunny didn't care about anybody's health. The Easter Bunny was like, you smoke? Fine. Here's a carton of smokes. Yeah, that's hardcore. That's hardcore Easter Bunnying right there. Carton of Cools, bottle of Jack, happy Easter. I know you're 16, but get over it. So we all go to bed, my brothers and I. And we grew up in a split-level house. So at the top of the 5 or 6 stairs that led to where the bedrooms were, my parents had gotten a baby gate because it seemed like there was always a toddler in the house. So they had this gate so the toddler would not plunge down these 6 steps to their untimely death. So now Easter morning comes, and we are so excited because now it's the time to reap our bounty of Easter goodness. Because we've all been wonderful children. And I didn't give a second thought to the idle threat of my father that I would not get an Easter basket because I hadn't, in fact, not eaten the ham. I had broken my mother's heart, been defiant to my father, and still went to bed with the knowledge that the Easter Bunny would, in fact, fill my basket. Woe unto those who would be defiant to their father. Because as my brothers and I pressed our heads against this this baby gate at the top of the stairs. It was like an accordion, a wood accordion gate, and we're pressed up there, our little faces squeezed into the diamonds of the gate, looking down, and we're counting the basket, and my brother's like, oh, there's my basket, and my oh, there's my basket, and the youngest, which means there's my basket and baby. And I'm counting. Now, I'm the oldest. I can count to five. I may not be the smartest guy in the world, but even at seven, I could count to five pretty easily and rarely make a mistake. So I see one, two, three, four. Somebody's missing a basket. Well, that can mean only one thing. There is some giant Easter basket somewhere that my parents and the Easter Bunny didn't want the other kids to see because they would obviously be jealous. So my mom and dad get up, and they don't give me a second glance. Nothing. All of a sudden, we go running down the stairs, and my brothers all go to their baskets because they all have our name on them. There's no basket for me. Let that sink in. No basket. You know where my basket was? Empty under the dining room table, like it had been cast asunder by the Easter Bunny or my parents. So now I'm down there, and I'm in shock. As you can imagine, as my brothers are tearing the cellophane off their beautifully decorated baskets and finding all sorts of things in there, their Fannie Mae candy, maybe a puzzle, maybe a kite, one of those big styrofoam jet planes that you'd see at the mall where they do a loop-de-loop, all those things my brothers are pulling out of their baskets. And my basket, I'm standing in disbelief in my jammies looking at this basket that's empty. And I think at that moment it hit my mom and dad what had happened, what they had wrought upon their defiant child. And they, but I don't think it mattered. Because they just, I don't remember them saying anything to me, but they must have said something. They must have said something like, we told you so, or this is what you get for not eating ham, or don't you ever defy us again. I don't know, but they had to say something, right? I couldn't have stood there in the midst of all this Easter jubilation completely crushed. But the worst part was, now it was time to get dressed to go to Mass. So we get, everybody gets dressed and we go to Mass. And we went to Catholic school where we went to, you know, church and school, same place. So I'm seeing all my friends on Easter morning after Mass. And everybody's talking about what was in their Easter basket and what kind of candy they got and what a lovely morning they had. And they couldn't believe how great it was that the Easter Bunny came to their house. And my buddy's like, so what'd you get in your basket? And I had a choice. I could either tell the truth or I could lie. Well, we've already set up that my character choices were not the best based on the night before. So I started lying to all my friends about what was in this non-existent Easter basket. Oh, I got candy, and I got this puzzle, and I got an 8-track. I got, you know, I'm thinking of things that I may have gotten in years past that I'm pulling them up. I'm projecting into the future. Oh, I got a carton of smokes. All these things. I'm just lying to them because I couldn't bear to tell them that I had not been able to get an Easter basket for the dumbest reason on the planet. Now, I know in retrospect, people will say, and sometimes I think to myself, why don't you just eat a couple bites of ham? That's all they wanted. It wasn't like they were going to make me eat an entire ham. But you saw me today at brunch. My wife was going crazy over this smoked ham. You would have thought this smoked ham contained the cure to every known disease. She was eating this ham like she was on death row and this was her last meal. And she offered me a bite of her ham. And what did I say?
I think you said no.
Of course I said no. Why would I eat ham?
In this suckers. Country, no.
No.
But you need ham when you're over in the UK?
No, not unless it's that. Whatever they do with that Serrano ham, whether it's cured like bacon or I don't know what the prep is. And I can't get past it. And people will say, well, not all ham is sweet. I understand that. But there's something about, now it's just principle. Now I can't eat it. I've gone this many years with a stance. I can't double clutch now.
You can.
Could I?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Really?
Mm-hmm.
You don't think I could, you know, the old dog new tricks? You're not buying into that?
I know people that break old habits, whether they're good or bad.
Really?
Yeah, why not?
I don't know. I just, it seems like that's my thing. My calling card. I'm the guy who doesn't eat ham. What do I do? Start eating ham? Anyway, so there you go, folks. That's the saddest Easter story ever. So what did I do the rest of the day? I watched my brothers eat their candy. I watched my brothers play with their toys. I did nothing but weep. bitter, non-ham-filled tears. That's right. No extra salt from the cured meats that I did not enjoy. So I hope you enjoyed it. I know people, like I said, I was surprised, but people were requesting that story. I think people just like to enjoy their holiday by enjoying my misery in past holidays. You know what I got in my Easter basket today? Nothing. I got nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You know why? Because I wouldn't eat ham. I think I was going to get an Easter basket when I came home. That was my wife's test at brunch. If I had taken a bite of that ham, maybe there would have been a lovely basket for me when I got home. Now, nothing. Nada. Zip. All right. We got to take a break. I'm going to get a ham sandwich. Somebody texted in, you didn't tell us. Did you eat ham the next year? No. No, and I think my mom wised up and did not make ham ever again. Well, she made ham, but they always knew when there was ham in the house, I wasn't going to eat it. So at some point, you have to pick your battles. And I think all parents know that you have to pick your battles. You can't argue over every little thing. So they resigned themselves to the fact that their eldest son was never going to eat ham. And we've all gone, and so like at holiday meals, if my mom was making ham for Easter, I would just not eat, or I'd eat everything else that was along with it. It wasn't like I said, you better make me something else. But a lot of times, as we got older, if there was a big family gathering and she was going to cook a ham, she'd usually cook a turkey or something too. So there was always something else. But yeah, they stopped trying to get me. Ham on rye with a little mustard is delicious, according to the 815. That may be true. I don't think I'll ever know. I didn't get an Easter basket today because I didn't want one. He lost over 100 pounds, didn't want to gain it back, and it has nothing to do with ham. Well, that's true. Plus, I got candy at home that I can steal from my daughter if I need to. Plus, Cody brought me a Cadbury egg, and I had a little dessert at brunch today.
Did you?
Yeah, you were there.
Sure. But
the only big thing was that donut. That donut was huge. I don't know if they had, stands or, one of the fancy donut places.
Yeah, I don't know.
They were good donuts.
I didn't have any.
I had one donut, and I had the little, two of those little tiny...
The key lime
chocolate
cups.
Mousses.
Oh, you had a chocolate one.
Chocolate mousse. And I did have one of the but these are the size of a quarter. I'm not exaggerating when I say that's how small they were. A key lime tart the size of a quarter. You know, if you only eat, 13 of those, that doesn't really count as a piece of pie, does it?
And 13, 15. Who's counting?
Who's counting? Not you. Let's see. That's so mean. I'm so sad for you. Can you imagine doing that to your daughter for any reason? No, and it's funny. In the years that followed, my mom has expressed remorse over a few of the punishments that they were dealt out to me as the oldest. But that's part of being the oldest. You know, you take the heat. There was the year I couldn't go trick-or-treating. There was the year I didn't get an Easter basket. There was the year they made me do physical labor at school. Rather, I had to go dig ditches at church because I did something wrong. So they that's just the way it goes. Made me who I am today.
It's such a hard life.
I don't know about that, but it makes for good stories. Makes for good stories and probably a healthy therapy bill if I ever wanted to sort any of this stuff out.
Yeah.
But thankfully, I don't. That's perfect. You know what? I want to sort out my itinerary for October, Cody. That's what I want to sort out.
Nice transition, Brian.
Thank you. Just a reminder, friends, if you want to go to England with me, I am going. Sure, you can come with. All you got to do is sign up at Steve Bertrand Travel. We're going October 11th to the 20th. It is going to be a wonderful, wonderful trip. We're going to London. We're going to see Stonehenge. We're going to Westminster Abbey. We're going to the Cotswolds, which is a little village that's kind of, I'm going to have fun saying Cotswolds, especially after a few pints over there. It's going to be fun. I'm going to buy a Beefeater hat, and we can pretend that we're doing a changing of the guards at the hotel late one night. There's going to be a lot of fun activities. Breakfasts are included, 4 really nice dinners at 4-star restaurants, beautiful accommodations, a guide that's going to take us everywhere, so I'm not the one giving you the history of England. There's actually someone who is qualified to do that. But we'll be having a lot of fun, and we're going to have some crossover with Steve Bertrand's tour, which is going right before us. So there'll be, when we arrive in London, for the first day, Steve and his group will be there as well, so it'll be a lot of fun. We can all mingle and get to know each other. All you need to do to go on this trip is go to email Steve at stevebertrandtravel.com. That's Steve at stevebertrandtravel.com. Or call 847-606-6065. Again, it's Steve Bertrand Travel. You'll see England's Treasures. That is the tour that we will be going on. You get round-trip air, beautiful accommodations. We have time in London at the end, a couple days free, a day and a half free to do things there. We're going to go on a distillery tour of Bombay Gin. It's going to be, oh man, it is going to be fun. Just going to be a lot of fun. So I hope you can join us. My wife and I are going, and you can come with us. All right, we have to do this. Then, after the news, it's a regular guy theater review and so much more. It's WGN. All right, it is time once again for a regular guy theater review. Now, you know that we've been going to the theater a lot lately, Cody and I. Now, you didn't go to this one. Did you not go to this one because your wife was out of town? Is that why you passed on this one?
Is it like, sad to say yes?
No, that's all right. Well, you don't want to go by yourself? I wouldn't want to go by myself.
Okay.
You know? I took, this time I took Molly to the theater because Debbie, or as I like to call her, wife, just mm-hmm. to upset some people.
Mm-hmm.
Debbie was like, well, listen, Molly's home, and I've gotten to go to a lot of shows, so why don't you take Molly with? Because nothing says college spring break like going to the theater with your old man. That's, man, oh, man, that's a wonderful thing. So it was nice. She got to go. So we went to see Pretty Woman. Pretty Woman, which is at the Oriental Theater now through April 15th. If you go to BroadwayInChicago.com, you can get your tickets. And you might be thinking, Pretty Woman, I saw a movie about that. A movie called that back in, I don't know, sometime in the late 80s with Julia Roberts and Richard Gere. Is it like that? Well, yeah, duh. It's the same thing. It was written by. Let me see. I don't want to mess that up. But the show. The show has the music of Bryan Adams. You know who Bryan Adams is? Bryan Adams, a rock star. Summer of '69. That was one of his big hits. He was as a Canadian rocker. Then he started doing ballads, the big one from the Kevin Costner Robin Hood movie, Everything I Do It For You. Did you ever slow dance to that one, Cody? Come on. Anyway, the book was written by Gary Marshall and J.F. Lawton. Gary Marshall, who was involved in the movie version, I think he directed the movie. So Pretty Woman is the story of if you don't know the story of Pretty Woman, it's about a hooker. So the Pretty Woman is a hooker, Vivian, and she meets a very rich man, Edward, and he basically buys her services for a week to be his date at these things. And they do, you know, there's some carnal knowledge involved, all of that. So if you don't think, here's the thing, I've seen a lot in the last week of people who are breaking this down and saying, listen, when we saw the movie, it was one thing, and now there's a play, and there's deeper issues about, you know, the line of work that Vivian is in, and you know, the reason she got there, and they're putting a lot of thought into it, and I understand that. But this is basically a fairy tale, a fantasy. And if you can get past the reality of what a hooker's life must really be like, and the fact that a billionaire is not going to swoop in a fancy car and quote-unquote rescue her, and you look at the story, you either like the movie or you didn't, and you're gonna love the. If you can put the reality aside and go for the thing, you are gonna love this show. I was surprised at how much I liked it. First of all, the two leads, Samantha Barks, who plays Vivian Ward, and Steve Casey, who plays Edward, were fantastic. Samantha Barks, her singing was terrific. Her energy was contagious. She looked terrific. It was a perfect part for her. She embodied, you know, they had the same costumes as they had, as Julia Roberts had in the movies. She was believable from the first moment. You saw a woman in her that really was in a situation she didn't want to be in. She was looking for a way to get out. And through this comes to the realization that you are the person who is going to rescue you. You don't need somebody else to rescue you. You are going to do the rescuing. And she was just phenomenal. So I kudos to her. And then Steve Casey, who played Edward, could have come across, like, the Richard Gere Edward in the film was not real likable. And there were times during this production that the character of Edward was not real likable, but there was something about him that was vulnerable in his performance that made you think, this guy, yeah, this guy's got all the money in the world. He's successful, but something is missing. And that came across. So he didn't seem, you know, skeevy, like the kind of guy who would hire a hooker for a week. Again, I understand people who can't overlook that part, but if you choose to, you're going to have a good time. The supporting cast was terrific. The guy who played Mr. Thompson and the Happy Man. Happy Man is this guy in the Hollywood scenes who's sort of a narrator, singing. He drives the action when all the Hollywood or the, you know, the street folks are around. But then he plays Mr. Thompson, who is the Hector Elizondo character in the film. He's the general manager of the Beverly Wilshire Hotel, who comes to at first be very wary of Vivian and then befriends her and actually guides her. And Cody, this is going to shock you. There was a point, and this is not a spoiler, because if you've seen the movie, you know that Vivian does leave the hotel. You know, she leaves Edward toward the end. The scene where Mr. Thompson was telling Vivian goodbye and saying that he hoped she came back to visit, I started to choke up a little bit. It was, I don't know what, it shows that I was invested in these characters and their performances, and not only the Samantha Barks performance as Vivian, but Eric Anderson, who was funny as the Happy Man, he did great as Mr. Thompson, and he was able to make those characters so distinct, and the Mr. Thompson character's evolution from aloof disdain for Vivian to a real genuine warmth for her was wonderful. So it was just great. So that, all right, so the acting was perfect. We know this, you know the story. The story doesn't change. The staging was terrific. It was, you know, it would go, all the staging that I've seen in these Broadway and Chicago productions have been great. I don't, these set producers, these production people are such visionaries. So the Hollywood set would come out and everything would kind of be there, and then it would go away, and then the hotel suite was there, and it was terrific. So the staging was great. The acting and vocal performances were terrific. The dancers in the ensemble did a great job. Now we come to the music. So Bryan Adams was there. It was the big red carpet premiere the other night, and Bryan Adams was there. And side note, Bryan Adams is about 3 feet tall. He is a very, very small man. Which is not to say anything other than I was surprised at how little he was. He's very thin and very tiny. But he was there. And the music, what sold me on this, because again, we all know the story. What sold me on this was the music. And there were certain points in the different songs where you could really tell if you've heard Bryan Adams' music in the past, which I'm sure you have, there's a certain sound. Most bands have a certain sound, and Bryan Adams has that sound, and it came through in a number of the songs. Things started to, in the middle of the first act, things were kind of low-key, and they began to pick up. And at the end of Act 1, the song You're Beautiful, which Edward, Vivian, and the company do, was a really big showstopper going into the intermission. And then, boy, it came back for the second act, and the songs just kept coming. This Is My Life, Never Give Up on a Dream, which is probably like the signature song of the entire production. Long Way Home, and then the finale, they all care. It was terrific. So the music was upbeat and contemporary. The performances were wonderful. I thought the vocal talents of Samantha Barks and Steve Casey, were unparalleled. They did a terrific job. I was emotionally invested in all of the characters. So if you like the film, and there were groups of all kinds of groups of folks there. There were, you know, parents with teenagers. There were groups of women who were going out for like a ladies' night to see the show. It was a very enjoyable night at the theater. I'm sorry you missed it, Cody. I think you would have liked it. The music, it wasn't big. It wasn't like Andrew Lloyd Webber kind of music, overly dramatic. It was very accessible, very fun, very upbeat, inspirational kind of music. So I thought it was just terrific. So again, that's Pretty Woman. It is playing now through April 15th at the Oriental Theater. If you go to BroadwayInChicago.com, you can get your tickets. Gary Marshall, Jeff Lawton wrote it. Music and lyrics by Bryan Adams and Jim Vallance, who is his longtime co-writing partner. So this is great. I'll tell you what, this Samantha Barks, man, oh man, she is talented. It was, there was something, I couldn't take my eyes off her. She was really, really good. She's been on Broadway. She's done all kinds of things. It's funny now I watch for like the costume changes and stuff and how they pull these things off. And it's just so much fun to go to the theater. So if you're looking for a fun night, what were we using as a scale? Fists? Thumbs up? Stars?
Oh man.
Monocles? Oh, we were using monocles. Yeah, so I'm going to give this one 5 monocles.
Well, out of how many monocles?
Out of 5 monocles. 5 out of 5 monocles.
You know, you might think you only need one monocle, but no, we do it big.
I stack them up. I want you to get a good view. Throw one in each eye. I don't care. So out of the monocle scale, 1 to 5, 5 being the best, 1 monocle, stay home. Going 5 monocles, I'm pretty
sure. You could call this a monoscope.
Oh. So it's montacular.
Wow.
It's a montacular. I saw a lot of puns. Pretty Woman is pretty fantastic. Pretty Woman, blah, 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 blah. Pretty Woman, 5 monocles.
Pretty Woman-tacular.
Oh, Pretty Womanicles. Pretty Woman-tacular. All right.
No one is wanting to go more when we call it that.
No, I think, listen, go see it. It's 5 monocles. It's terrific. All right, I got to do this. Then there's more. Why? Because we're here till 7. We got to keep talking. I left out one part that a texter, when I was talking about Pretty Woman the musical, a texter said, hey, what did you think of the opera scene? Because if you remember from the movie, Edward takes Vivian to the opera, and in Pretty Woman the musical, the opera was performed by Brian Calley and Alison Blackwell, and they were phenomenal. Alison Blackwell had an unbelievable range and was so the opera scene was worth the price of admission as well. Not just the performances and the visuals, but the whole thing in its totality, Cody. 5 monocles. It's going to be hard to beat 5 monocles. I would give Aladdin 5 monocles. I would give Pretty Woman 5 monocles.
The Humans.
Humans, I got to get 4 monocles because I didn't know about the ending.
Oh, yeah.
Still not sure about the ending.
That's a 4.5.
Listen, 4 monocles is still, that's 4 monocles.
Hard to wear.
It's hard to wear and hard to beat. Roger has joined us. Roger's still recovering from the gag at the beginning of the program.
Was it traumatic?
It was. I think he wept. I know Roger is frail. And
I was shaving at the time.
Yeah, so that explains the bandage on your neck.
Yeah.
And, we know Roger's health is always in jeopardy. So we didn't mean to throw you off. Happy Passover. Happy Easter. Happy April Fool's Day.
Thank you. Same to you guys.
So you were getting, people were...
Yeah, I was getting some texts.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and boy, you pulled a good one. They were seriously concerned and upset.
Well,
I tried to calm them. I tried to talk them off the ledge.
Listen, it's... Well, I'm glad people believed it. That means Cody did his job.
Yeah,
and
for once.
The Insomniacs and Christy.
Yeah, wow. Wow, that was rough.
He's been waiting all these years for an April Fool's Day to show up, and thankfully it was not also WrestleMania Day or he wouldn't have been here.
Yeah, that's next week.
That's next week. Yeah, no, none of us will be here next week. Unless, of course, the game gets postponed again because there's a monsoon. But I don't know what the weather's supposed to be next Sunday, and they're home next Sunday, so we will see. So we won't be here next Sunday because the White Sox play, and then there's a White Sox show after because it can't air on Saturday. So when you tune in next week and we're not here, don't think that the April Fool's joke came true.
Yeah.
Even though it may have. But don't just assume that out of hand. Make sure you... Oh, Cody, I forgot. People are looking at the handwritten sign. We put your sign in the window, too. So you need to
go. No. I took that off.
Did you take that off?
Yeah. That was... I couldn't see what was written on it from far away.
Right.
But Amy starts holding up... Yeah, because in the Showcase Studio, the Allstate Showcase Studio here on beautiful Michigan Avenue,
right on.
There's a sign. There are a bunch of signs that have the host's names in them. So whenever a new host comes, we pop it in so people walking by can see Brian Noonan's on. So Amy, was it Amy's idea?
No, I did.
Oh, okay. So, well, she held it up. So I see.
Yeah, because I couldn't walk out because of the cameras.
Yeah.
So I couldn't, if people were watching on the website or on the stream, I couldn't be seen,
yeah.
So I was sequestered in the back.
Roger, we committed to this.
I know, and it sounded like it.
So
seriously.
Amy holds up this. I could see it was your sign, and there were 2 white sheets of paper over it, but I couldn't see anything on it. So I was like, oh, that is, but sure, go for it.
I didn't have a thick black marker to write your name. So it just said Cody Goff in pen, rapidly scrawled, which I picture is how he would have done it had he...
Well, last minute, of course.
Of course.
You know.
No, listen, he knew he was trying to take my job.
The whole experience is pretty authentic.
Very authentic.
Well, you know, comedy often is based on reality.
Well, at one point, because Cody edited my rage after being fired, and he was like, that sounds very real. Are you sure you weren't channeling some things? I was like, well, we got to have it real to sell it.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we went with that. Because if I'd come up with some really way out excuse, nobody would have believed it.
Yeah.
So we go with that. I find it disheartening that everyone was so easily convinced that I'd been fired. Well, we believe it. We believe it was coming. Been coming for a long time. Have you seen this hashtag? And I'm interested to get your take on this, Cody, as a social media maven during the week. This delete Facebook hashtag, it's been gaining more ground. We all know that Facebook is apologizing now because they have sold all of our information to Cambridge Analytica. And then Cambridge Analytica did... horrible things with it. I'm not surprised at all that our information is out there and for sale and people are using it. That's why most of us don't read the terms of service agreement. We just click agree and all of a sudden, bang, that's out there. So there have been a lot of reports coming out about the information that Facebook was keeping on you. This story said that they... some of the features that were kept, the author of this story in USA Today said the location to all of his contacts. That happened when I joined Facebook and asked if I wanted to connect other friends by importing my contacts from my computer, which I never did. I never imported my contacts. So I guess that's good. Any restaurant or airport where I've checked in, I don't check in at places either. I'll tag that I'm somewhere, but I never, like, you check in at places, don't you? Cody checks in all the time. I don't check in. The IP address of everywhere I've ever logged into Facebook. My estimated by Facebook political and religious views. I don't know how they come up with that, but they do. All my searches on Facebook over the years, the name of that, which is scary, the name of my followers and facial recognition of me and my friends, which I've noticed is a little disconcerting because now granted I only use, you know, there'll be pictures of myself with my wife or daughter, and they immediately know who's in those pictures. Facebook knows. They know everything.
Oh, yeah.
So it's scary. So according to a recent survey, 84% of users are somewhat or very concerned about how their data may be used by Facebook, but they're not rushing to delete the account. Is there anybody who should be surprised this information is available to other people? I don't think so.
Well, one would hope that if you venture into social media, you have a basic understanding that it is social and media. In other words, it is not your private lockbox at the bank where nobody knows anything about you or what's in there except you. If anyone goes into social media not knowing that your information is out there for the world to see, then there's something wrong with them.
So I interviewed a privacy expert for my other podcast, and he talked about the GDPR, the General Data Protection Regulation.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, so America's terrible about this.
Yes.
Right? Basically, Facebook and Amazon and Google have carte blanche to do whatever they want. Like, there's no legislation. Consumers are not protected from companies or the government, as Edward Snowden pointed out blatantly. But the EU is doing a much better job. And what's kind of nice is, this regulation is going to be enacted in May, and it'll require people to basically say that they fully understand and comprehend the terms of service. So it's not just like a, you know, the iTunes 20-page thing, and you click I agree. It'll actually have you be like, do you understand that this is what you're doing? Yes. This is what you're doing? Yes. And once these big companies roll it out, hopefully because they're global companies, they'll just roll out those same protections everywhere, and what they're doing in the EU to protect us will kind of have some side effects in the U.S. here. But the sheer amount of data, there was a journalist in England who requested Tinder give her all the data they had on her, and they gave her 800 pages of data because it's accessed through Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And we're talking messages, phone call conversations, histories. Like,
who you've called, everything. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
And most of, now they're saying with the phone calls with Facebook, it was for Android. It was Android users where they were keeping the... keeping all the records of the phone calls.
Mm.
And who would have thought, you know, you're going on Facebook, who thinks they're, you know,
It's messed up.
Well, that's why I joke about it, but that's why I don't have, like, an Alexa or one of those smart Google things in my house. Where that's the one you got, right?
I got one for free with my phone, right. But I won't put it in my house.
No. I mean, there's enough. Listen, we all know anytime we're on the computer, we're being tracked. All our information is out there. But there are ways you can go into your settings. You can change some of the things on Facebook. You can, if you Google that and go there, you can go on your settings page and you can at least throw a monkey wrench into some of their.
But it's never the one you want to restrict, unfortunately.
Well, sure. And you don't know if you said sync up my information might be out there because I'm your contact,
right?
And you synced me in and I didn't know you. I didn't agree to have you share my information and you didn't do it maliciously,
right?
But now it's out there, so there's all kinds of things that can be done with it. But the moral of this and what is coming out from most stories that I read, people are concerned, but they're not saying they're going to disconnect from Facebook. They're just saying, well, maybe we'll use it less, which is probably not a bad idea. To use social media less, because even Facebook said that it's not good for your mental health to be on social media all the time, which it isn't. All right, we can talk more about this. We're also going to talk about fubbing on the other side of the news. But first, Bennis on WGN.
Good evening. Glad you're with me. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN, firmly ensconced in the Allstate Showcase studio on a bustling but chilly Michigan Avenue. We have got a fantastic show for you. Action-packed. So much to get to, so little time. But I have to start out with a happy Easter to everybody. It is, of course, Easter Sunday. Everybody enjoying yourselves? I got to check in with the crew. Of course, you can get involved in the conversation. 312-981-7200. When you call in, you'll be talking to Cody. Oh, my gosh, I didn't go to Rockford for Easter Sunday. Goff, he is the executive producer from Rockford, Illinois. Cody, how was your Easter brunch?
Well, I didn't have a brunch, Brian. I was too busy putting together your show for you.
Oh, really? Because you're such a hard worker. Wow, first time for everything. That's really the best he could come up with?
Come on, Brian. Give Cody a break. He's doing all right.
Oh, look, Roger's here.
Of course, it's been an exciting day. You know, when I used to work for Gloria Jean's Coffee, we would have to work sometimes on Easter. And it was always a good day because I celebrate Passover, so usually they don't intersect. But today they intersect. Did I mention I used to teach? And when I taught, sometimes I would go to school in a rabbit costume.
Yeah, I had no idea, Roger. That's great. You know, if I wanted to know all that, I could have read your 18-page Facebook post.
Listen, I like to keep people updated. Have I told you what this day in Old Man Music history is?
You know, we'll maybe get to that. Cody, is that on the rundown?
Let me check the, no. No, 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 no.
All right, this show's already gone.
No, it's we've got more important things to deal with here on the show, Brian.
We certainly do, we certainly do. Coming up, as we have been teasing on Facebook all week, we've got the Dubstep Hour, which is very exciting. Cody put that whole thing together.
Why, certainly I did.
She's been 75 hours producing that this week, I think.
Yeah, well, more like 85, but, you know, who's coming?
All right, well,
I don't think he has a watch, Brian. I don't think he knows how to tell time anyway.
Oh, really, Roger?
No. Well, Roger, all right, we had to see who would be the first one to break it with Roger. That's
this is Cody. What are you talking about?
Stop it. So yeah, April Fool's, everybody. Were you fooled? Oh, that's
hilarious. Oh man, I had everything up here. I was
did you,
Drake University, oh, Curiosity, Final Fantasy. I was gonna tell you all about the crystal that I was gonna find and all that stuff.
Oh, you were almost there. Fantastic. Oh man.
Like, the one April Fool's joke wasn't enough for me.
No, you wanted to go back to the well. That's always dangerous. Always dangerous to go back to the well. But no, you guys did very well.
Thank you.
So we were talking about this. Roger, just so you know, Debbie is very protective of you. She said, if you're doing Roger, don't be mean to Roger.
Oh, that was
right. Cody was there. She heard her tell me, don't be mean to Roger. I was like, I'm never mean to Roger. He knows.
Everyone misunderstands.
They misunderstand. I'm misunderstood.
Nobody is mean to me.
No.
Nobody is mean to me.
No.
No.
You're mean to yourself.
And thank you. I do that well by myself.
What does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything, but it just means that I'm not mean to him. As
no.
long as I'm not mean to
him. No.
As long as I'm not mean to him.
How long have we been doing the shows together?
A long
10, 11
time.
Years?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And trust me, from the... And
I know, but Debbie, no, I go, I don't know. She she thinks I'm being mean to everybody.
Yeah, no.
Last night I was accused of being mean to Molly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know what I did. I didn't do anything. I'm always accused of being mean. So she was very nervous that I don't know what I was... I don't know what she thought I was going to do that was going to be mean to you, that I was going to do some sort of, you know, no more than everybody in the first segment. Man.
Yeah.
They were great actors, because you would have thought I was... evil incarnate. The way
yes.
Christy and the Insomniacs talked about me and Cody, it was like, holy cow.
It was awesome.
Thankfully, there were other people there who, you know, were like, you know, you're not that bad. You know, notice Debbie didn't tell you not to be mean to me. Right? Gee, oh.
We know where her priorities are.
Right. Just don't be mean to Roger. I guess she doesn't want me, you know, hauled in front of HR.
Well, I just did, and I was kind of like, well, we're all going to be a little, like, not mean to each other, but when you've been working together for 10 years,
right, yeah.
Like, the three of us have been doing this, it's like...
a long time.
It gets to the point where you can make fun of each other, and it's fine.
Yes. And, and also where we go, well, it's been that long? Seriously? What are we doing?
Good Lord.
What's happened to us?
And I've been on this show like my entire adult life.
Oh my God.
Like literally since a year after graduating college. Like my entire adult life, I've been on the Brian Noonan Show.
Well, listen, there's worse.
It could be worse.
Just remember, Cody, there's always room to grow.
That's right.
Listen,
you started off on the morning show and you ended up here. I think you're following the perfect professional trajectory.
I've been telling everybody that I am at my peak.
Yeah, this is it.
Look, this show
this
and then
as good as it gets.
My other job, which I like once one of these goes away, I'm done.
You left out the marriage. That whole part of your life is not career-wise.
I'm
talking
career-wise,
sure.
But also, yeah, I'm pretty. Oh, you can't really go much further up from marriage.
I don't know.
Have kids, maybe, I guess.
Polygamy.
Yeah, maybe.
No.
If you're a couple
wives.
Some people
if one wife is good, two wives is probably better.
Let him get this one right first.
then he could add on. I'm not saying to swap it out.
Yeah, right. It's not even been a year.
I mean, it's like if you have a nice house, maybe you just want to build an addition on the back. You don't want to get rid of your house.
Yeah, right.
You just
want
to, you know.
I mean, look at where things are today. It's Easter and he's all alone, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Jeez.
Don't remind me.
He's got to hang out with us. He's beautiful. He's here. He's here with us. With his radio family.
There you go.
Hold on while I put the gun right in my mouth.
That's
horrifying. Shouldn't joke about that.
Too soon.
Right. Too soon for everything. It's always too soon.
Yeah.
Always too soon. My whole life is too soon.
Hashtag too soon.
Hashtag too soon.
Hashtag delete Facebook too soon.
Hashtag dubstep hour.
Wow.
A lot of hashtags today. Hashtag April Fools. Hashtag gotcha. Hashtag stop saying hashtag. Hashtag punch me in the face if I say hashtag again. Hashtag ouch, why did you hit me? Hashtag oh yeah, I forgot. Hashtag oh yeah, I told you to hit me when I said hashtag.
Hashtag?
There probably is. That's...
yeah.
I'm tired of the hashtag.
I know.
If you start seeing 7-year-olds playing on the playground and yelling hashtag instead of Simon Says, you know our society's in trouble.
Is that what it's going to take? Because I'm pretty much under the impression that our society's in trouble anyway.
I'm under impression I'm in trouble. It is 500 degrees in this room.
Well, that's, you know, it's the seventh layer.
Really?
Like, it is an inferno. Are you as hot in there?
No.
Dude.
I'm in fuego just all the time because, you know, I'm... jacked up to perform.
About 4 o'clock this morning. So downstairs, I went down about 3 o'clock, and it was very warm downstairs in the studio. And then about 4 o'clock, suddenly Dave Plyer puts on his winter jacket because they turned the air conditioning on.
Well, I thought he was leaving early.
No.
Plyer's just bailing. Yeah. I've had enough.
Yeah.
I'm out.
It works with me. What do you want?
Trust me, I knew we wouldn't have to bail on you because you were sleeping. So it didn't
matter. Yeah, that's true.
It didn't matter one way or another. No, but I've been in Dave's position where, but see, the producer's room and the studio, there's like two different climates within 15 feet. But I've been just like Dave where it's hot, you're baking 1 minute.
Right.
And then the next minute you're freezing.
Yeah.
So now it's okay in here. Plus, I'm all dressed up in them.
Yeah, a nice spiffy tie.
Thanks, man. I was all, we went out today. You know, went out to a little Easter brunch.
Well, that's fine.
So you got to dress it up a little bit. There was something I was...
It's a microcosm of Chicago in here.
Because you can get two different climates.
Two different climates.
Short period of time.
I gotcha. Mm-hmm. We're talking about society being torn asunder. I actually heard a woman tell her child that he could have some salmon today.
Really?
At brunch. Salmon. I try not to judge. Who am I kidding? I judge constantly. But I wanted to correct. That would have been bad form if I had corrected her in front of her child. She was in her Easter finery. All appearances, she seemed like a very good mom, you know, taking care of her child, well put together. They were enjoying a nice brunch. And she said, oh, I don't think you'll like this salmon because it's not cooked the way you usually have your salmon.
Did she say that often?
She might have said it often while she watches the cable. Mm-hmm. But, I was thrown. It's like my dad used to say tortilla. And my dad had a master's degree, was an educated man, principal of a high school, and you'd say tortilla. And I would say, Dad, now I know he didn't like Mexican food, so maybe he said it just out of spite. But when somebody mispronounces something like that, I have a hard time not judging them, you know? But that's just me. What would you have done, Cody? Would you have told her? Told her not to say salmon?
I would have just silently judged.
I always judge. I judge. You know who I want to judge? I'll tell you in a minute. There's somebody I need to judge. We're going to get to this fubbing thing after 6:30 because it's, I think it's something we all need to know about. It's an important, it's a burning topic. But there's a guy I have to call out, even on Easter Sunday, as the tool of the month. And it's only April 1st. So you're going to have to go a long way to beat this guy for tool of the month. Who is it? You may know if you've been watching the news today. We'll get to that after this. It's WGN. Every time I think, listen, I know the country is divided. I know politics divides us. I know that certain issues divide us. But I also know that sometimes you got to keep your mouth shut. And some people you should just, you know, leave alone. But then there are people who just can't do that. So while there may be a lot of nominees for Tool of the Month, and it is only April 1st, Ted Nugent wins this month. Hands down. Did you see what Ted Nugent did? You see what he said? You know who Ted Nugent is.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Rock star. Mm-hmm. Hasn't been
relevant
in a long time. I used to listen to Ted Nugent, Cat Scratch Fever. I liked mm-hmm. Terrible Ted. But then Ted took a turn at some point. And he, you know, he lives on his farm, his compound in Michigan, and he bow hunts. Everybody knows Ted bow hunts, and he's a big gun person and all of that. And that's fine, you know, and he's been outspoken on a lot of things. I don't agree with 99.9% of the things he says. I think he's wacky, but, you know, it's his right to be wacky, whatever. But yesterday he decided to turn his scorn on the Parkland, Florida students. And this is something I don't understand. I didn't understand it when the march was happening and people turning against them. Now, most of us, thank God, have never been in a school and watched 17 people we know get shot. Or even 17 people in our school that we don't really know, but they were in our school and they got murdered.
Well,
we don't. Go ahead.
In one school, I had 5.
Okay, but that I'm sorry, what school were you in?
Chicago Vocational. 5 students who were murdered over
outside,
10 years.
Right.
Outside of the school,
yeah,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
No, which is horrible. And that's a
but I understand what you're saying.
Right, that's a different kind of thing.
Right.
You know,
right.
But it's just as horrible, and thankfully, again, most of us aren't in that position.
Right. Right.
And as an adult, as a teacher, it's a horrible thing. I can't imagine having, you know, knowing your students and then them being dead.
Mm-hmm.
As a classmate or even somebody in that school, it's got to be horrible.
Even worse, when you're there when it happens, you're amongst it. It's not like you've gone home for the day and you get word that one of your classmates has been killed.
Right.
And not only that, it was a mass killing,
right.
Mass shooting.
Comes into your school and starts killing people. I can't imagine it. I would never want to have to know anyone or subject anyone to go through it. So I understand these kids wanting to speak out and wanting to do something. And what I don't understand is people who are attacking them for doing this. And I don't want to hear, oh, they're shills for liberal ideas. But hey, until you have a friend killed in school or someone you know or a shooter in your place of business or your school, you don't really know what these kids are thinking. And you know me, I talk about teenagers being goofballs 90% of the time. But I think these kids, what they're doing is incredible. And did somebody help them with money to organize marches? Okay, so what? So what? If these kids believe in something, they're 16, 17, 18. If somebody's going to help finance that to get their message out, what's the problem? But Ted Nugent came out, and he was on the Joe Pags show. Yeah, Joey Pags. He's a syndicated conservative radio program. Are there any other kind of radio programs other than at this station and sports? That's pretty much it. You've got DJs playing music. You've got guys on sports station giving hot takes. You've got us, and then you've got conservative radio, who are all beating the same drum and saying the same thing. Okay, that's fine. So Joe Pags has a show, and this is one of the things Terrible Ted said about it. All you have to do now is not only feel sorry for the liars, but you have to go against them and pray to God that the lies can be crushed and the liars can be silenced so that the real measures can be put into place and actually save children's lives. These poor children, I'm afraid to say this, and it hurts me to say this, but the evidence is irrefutable. They have no soul. Really? Ted? They have no soul. The evidence is irrefutable, Cody. That's as bad as somebody saying literally. The evidence is irrefutable. These children have no soul. Ted Nugent, you have no concept of what a soul is. How dare you? How dare you come out again? You know, if you want to say, listen, I believe in the rights of people to have guns. And again, these children are not saying there should be no guns. They're saying, hey, can we please do something to stop people getting killed in school?
Yeah.
Which I would think most of us would say, yeah, that's probably a good idea. Stop kids getting killed in school. The dumbing down of America has manifested in the culture deprivation of our academia that has taught these kids the lies, media that have prodded and encouraged and provided these kids lies. I really feel sorry for them because it's not only ignorant and dangerously stupid, but it's soulless to attack the good law-abiding families of America when well-known, predictable murderers commit these horrors is deep in the category of soullessness. There he goes. And he also says that it's a God-given right to have a gun. Because I read that in the Bible.
Yeah, Jesus said that.
Jesus said it right before.
Jesus said, thou shalt have an AR-15.
Right. Thou shalt not kill, but thou shalt have guns. It's right there. It's the 11th commandment. A lot of us missed that one because it was on the third tablet. And since there was only one, we didn't really read that. We paid more attention to the first two because they were chock full of things. We're like, boy, these 10, that's pretty important. What's that other one? It must be like a footnote or a bibliography. We're not even going to look at it. All right, let's do this. Then it's news time, WGN. Karen Coffey will be here after 7 o'clock for her program. Again, the White Sox game postponed today, as Roger mentioned. And home opener on Thursday. The weather forecast for Thursday, dismal. A high of 41, 50% chance of rain or snow. Oh, that'll be lovely. We're all broadcast. Everybody at the station, big broadcast from Cork and Kerry at the park on Thursday. So if you're in the area, if you're going to the Sox home opener, go by the Cork and Kerry at the park and say hello to everybody. I will be stopping by with Steve Bertrand during the noon hour. So that'll be fun to get to going with Steve.
Nice.
Sure, we're going to talk about the White Sox. Nice first couple games for the Sox. Boy, they come out of the gate. First in the AL Central.
2-0.
Let's go, baby.
Undefeated.
That's it. We're going to the World Series.
There you go.
In a couple of years. Listen, I'm happy.
It's a building season.
It is a building season, and they're doing great. And it's, mm-hmm. you know, even yesterday, they were down. But just like at the end of last season,
mm-hmm.
They don't quit.
Yeah.
And that's the nice thing. If you see a team, even if they're not doing great, but you see that spark and you see there's something there,
mm-hmm.
you gotta hold out hope. And I do because they fought back yesterday and won. And Kansas City, you know, Kansas City, one of our arch rivals.
Yeah, that's right.
In the AL Central, yeah. So. Them and the Twins. Used to just be the Twins. That's the Royals.
You know what I love?
And
Cheese? But and if you don't, if you're not watching on the stream, you can't see this, but we have video cameras in all of our different sections of the station. One of them is the sports department.
That prevents shoplifting.
Well, yeah, which is why I always do it out of view of the camera.
That's right.
But this is so reminiscent of when I was going to Wrigley Field as a kid. I'd get on the Red Line. Well, it was the Howard Englewood at the time.
Sure.
At Howard Street and take it down to Wrigley Field. And you always had to look for the signs on the front of the trains to make sure you took the right one that would stop at Addison.
Yeah.
So there was a sign to say ball game today. On a big sign that would be on the front of the train. So, in our sports department, they have a sign, socks, postponed today.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
I do too, and I like it. I like it because people would say the game was canceled. Well, the game wasn't canceled.
No.
The game was postponed.
Right.
Because they're going to make it up in a doubleheader.
So, yeah. A little later on, next time they get together, probably.
Yeah. So Thursday will be a fun day at Cork and Kerry at the park. Hopefully, the weather holds out, because what was it, 2 years ago that the Sox home opener was canceled due to snow. I think last year it might have been rained out. It's been a rough couple of years weather-wise. Well, the season, come on, the season started too early. It started a week earlier than normal this year. That's too early. Any market that has open-air stadiums is susceptible to this. You've got, you know, unless you're Milwaukee with the nice roof that closes up here, anywhere north, you know, but this year, anywhere west too, you're running the risk of your games being canceled. The weather is just horrible this year.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly why they started early this year. I know they had some reason, but I can't remember what the reason was. Why they started in March instead of waiting another week.
Maybe it's something about, you know, when the All-Star game would fall or when the World Series would have to take place, or I don't know.
Too long a season.
Yeah.
Come on. Anyway, how many times have you been at a meal or in a conversation or anywhere and you're with someone and they get on their phone and you feel kind of left out? You feel snubbed. Well, you were snubbed, but you were in fact fubbed. Fubbing is, now this is a term, I gotta be honest, until I found this story, yesterday, I had never heard the term fubbing, and now I'm completely obsessed with it, because I see it all around, and I probably have been guilty of it myself. Snubbing someone you're talking to look at a cell phone is called fubbing. It's part of all of our lives. Every day, somebody is getting fubbed or fubbing someone else. It may seem like it's relatively harmless. Which is why people do it, because they don't think it's a big deal. And yet, it is. It is meant to, fubbing is meant to connect you, presumably, with someone through social media or texting, according to a psychologist, but it actually can severely disrupt your present moment in-person relationships. This is I had to do it the other day. I had to pull out my phone while I was with Molly somewhere. But I apologized in advance and told her why I had to check this thing. So I think that then excuses fubbing. But we've all been somewhere, and you're talking to someone, and they're all of a sudden they pull out their phone. And they think they're listening to you, but you see them texting, or you see them checking stuff, and you know they're not. And doesn't it make you feel less, like suddenly you're not as important? Even if they're not having a conversation with someone else, your self-esteem takes a hit, because now you're not... not the center of their universe, but suddenly you're not even someone who's worthy of their attention, despite the fact that you're sitting with them all the time. There have been studies done on this. Several studies show that fubbing makes face-to-face interactions less meaningful. There was a paper just published, Cody, because I know you're always saying, cite your source. Cite your source, Paper Chase. It was in the Journal of Applied Social Psychology. Found that even people who imagined they were being fubbed while viewing a simulated conversation felt more negatively about the interaction than those people who didn't picture fubbing. So even just making believe someone is fubbing you can make you feel bad about yourself. The mere presence of a cell phone during a conversation, even if no one was using it, was enough to make people feel less connected to each other. I saw, how many people did we see today at brunch? Sitting at their table, I saw a lot with their cell phones out. In the lobby waiting to go in, everybody was on their cell phones or on their tablets. The entire restaurant. And then you get to, you look at tables. Now none of us, to my knowledge, nobody at our table took their phone out.
I took mine at the very beginning because I mentioned a thing. You asked me what I did last night.
You were going to show a picture.
I showed you a picture.
But you were showing a picture to the group, so we were all involved.
Yeah.
It wasn't like you pulled your phone out and were texting your wife.
Oh, no.
Or, you know, texting your, you know, the person who was supposed to make the fake emergency call 5 minutes after you got there so you could leave. Texting them to say, hey, forget it, I guess I'll stay.
Right. And I said what I was going to do. When I'm with my wife, I try to voice to text whenever anything comes up.
Yeah.
Or if I look, I'll say, oh, hey, my friend John just texted me. I'm going to hit him back or whatever. So that she knows.
See, I won't even leave it out on the table if I'm out. I don't.
Even at home.
Yeah.
At home, I do this. Like, I think
leave it on the table next to you?
No. But at home, if I'm, like, talking to her and it's somewhere in the room and it goes off, or I walk over and she's telling me something, or in the kitchen maybe, and I glance at it, and I'm expecting a message or something.
Yeah. Well, then I add. I go, do you mind if I take care of this?
Yeah.
And I think if you're with somebody close and you explain this is a special occurrence, they're going to be cool about it. If you're out, like if you haven't seen your buddies in a while, and you all go out, and you're supposed to be having dinner, and three of them are on their phones doing stuff, it's like, why did we even bother coming? Or they have to leave them out so they can see it. Say, hey, do you think a better offer's coming? Is there somebody more fascinating than me? Because I know that's not the case. Is there somebody else you need to be talking to at this moment? You know, unless you tell me when you come in, hey, listen, my kid's really sick, my wife may text, I may have to bolt. Well, then by all means, keep your phone out. I'm not an animal. But if it's like, hey, I got to check the score. No, you don't. Call your bookie tomorrow. If you win, you win.
Yeah.
You know, unless we're going out to watch the game. But then still, you're watching the game. You don't need to check the score on your phone.
Unless it's a really boring game.
Then talk to your friends.
Yeah. You're there with people, not your phone.
Listen.
And I'm the worst one at home. And when we're out, I'm guilty. Guilty
really?
As charged.
You're
yes.
a fubber?
Yes.
Why do you fub your lovely wife? She seems like she'd be nice to talk to.
She's very nice to talk to, and we talk, and we converse while I'm checking on a couple of things on the phone. We are still conversing. But I do check things that I don't need to really check on the phone. But now at home, I'll be doing some stuff trying to talk to her, and she's on the phone.
Yeah.
Checking forecasts, weather forecasts in some foreign country.
Are you traveling anytime soon?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
And, or checking on a political article. She loves news of politics and the government of the United States and what's going on. She follows it intently.
Okay.
And she does that at home on her phone. She is, as much as she was...
To you?
Instead of talking to me. But then again, I'm in the other room watching TV or sleeping.
All right.
So, but I don't make a big deal out of it with her. In fact, I complimented her the other day.
For leaving you alone?
Thank you, dear, for leaving me alone. And she said, I'm sorry, were you talking to me?
And you are? It's perfect.
But she has gone from being a novice cell phone user to being an expert cell phone user.
Ah, just because she's on it all the time?
She's on it all the time. She's learned how to do it. She's now communicating with her friends on the cell phone, texting and finding, you know, a lot of shared interest with her friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're talking about different articles here and there and all that. And plus she reads books, Kindle. She's got her Kindle, not on the phone because it's not big enough.
Right.
She's got one of the larger books.
So your whole life is one big fub is what you're telling me.
You don't listen
to her. She doesn't listen to you. You just text each other and maybe once in a while bump into each other.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I did have to correct her the other day
because
she said, all right, I'm going to give Rufus some water. And so I had run out and moved the car or something. It took maybe 10 minutes. To take care of everything. I came back in and I see there's no water in the dish. Oh. And I go, honey, where are you? And I walk around the corner and there she is sitting in the couch in the front room on the phone doing stuff. And I said, I thought you were going to put water in this dish. I am. I just had to look this up.
Listen, the dog will wait. She just thinks she's got to be looked up.
Yeah.
No, I know. Well, it's bad for your mental health. A new study says fubbing was found to threaten four fundamental needs. Belongingness, self-esteem, meaningful existence, and control. By making fubbed people feel excluded and ostracized. Is that how you felt, Roger?
Yes, I did. On behalf of our dog, I did.
Of course.
Yes.
Excluded and ostracized.
Yes.
Research has shown that fubbing can affect relationships. It's tearing your relationship asunder. Two separate studies found that when spouses fub each other, listen to this, Roger.
Okay.
They're more likely to experience depression and lower marital satisfaction. If your life partner's on the phone, that means that they are prioritizing something else over you in those moments of togetherness.
Well, that happened long before cell phones came out.
Oh, yeah. anything. There's Cody's still in that newlywed bliss.
He has no clue.
We've been around the block a couple times.
Yeah.
You know. 312-981-7200. Judy wants to jump in on this. Hi, Judy.
Hi, how are you?
We are well.
Very good, and happy Easter to
happy
you.
Happy Easter to you.
Okay, on this cell phone dilemma, I don't know what else to call it, maybe, you know, a pandemic, but went out to dinner a few months ago, and it was a nice sit-down restaurant, and there was a middle-aged couple. Both had their cell phones out. They didn't talk to each other throughout their entire meal.
It's amazing.
So what I decided to do, now, I go a lot of places. You know, whether if it's just for a Diet Coke at McDonald's or we eat out, my son and I, once a week. On the McDonald's list that your receipt, if you call, go on your computer, you get a number, and then you can get a free quarter pounder.
Okay.
Or an egg muffin. If I see a table, and I saw one very recently because I gave this out, it was between senior and elderly couple, and they didn't have cell phones on the table. I don't know if it's because of the age. I still use a silly flip phone, and I'm not that old. But I actually gave them one of them, the receipt, and I congratulated them on actually making eye-to-eye contact. Because if you're on a phone, you are missing two-thirds of the conversation.
Oh, yeah.
That is verbal.
Yes, you have to engage with the other person. It's active listening.
That's right. And I've gone up, I mean, like, who am I? You know, well, why is she approaching our table? But I congratulate them on being very decent to each other.
Well, that was very nice of you, Joan, or Judy.
Yeah, well, John's a nice name, too.
Well, Judy, I've got an Aunt Judy and an Aunt Joan, so it all kind of goes together. But, Judy, that was nice. How did they respond? What did they say to you? They, hey, lady, buzz off.
No, they were, like, kind of astonished and embarrassed that they were noticed for not doing what everybody else does, and yet... Yeah, there was a sense of pride.
Well, then there should be. And I think it was nice of you to point that out. Well, Judy, thank you for the call. Have a wonderful rest of your Easter.
Oh, thank you. You also.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Let's do this, and then we'll get to some more why fubbing isn't good for anybody. We'll get to more of that after your calls and more after this, WGN. Last thing about this fubbing stuff, it can hurt your reputation as well, according to studies. Phone users generally seen as less polite and attentive and as poor conversationalists. So throw that at your lovely wife when she's fubbing you next time, Roger.
Yeah, when
she's ignoring you. That doesn't seem nice. Hey, let's wish a very early happy birthday to our good friend Cody. His birthday is April 4th, which is Wednesday. So we want to wish Cody a happy birthday. I don't know how old he's going to be. I think he's going to be like 39, 40.
And
what?
And you.
Eh.
On the 3rd.
Yeah, I don't like to
the day before. It's like you two, you know.
We were meant to be together.
Yes.
So Cody's birthday is on April 4th. Mine is on April 3rd. April Fool's Day is April 1st. Is there symmetry there? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. There's some sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I am still, Cody, I think, embraces his birthday. Do you embrace your birthday?
don't know if I would say I embrace it.
Well, how old are you going to be? Do you mind me asking? Is that rude for me to ask you?
25 to 35.
You're in the demo, the sought-after demographic, the 25 to 54 demographic?
My acting resume.
You're right in there?
You know what's nice is now I finally look like I might be in my 30s to some, so I might get some roles.
Wow, all right.
Wait, do you still get carded?
Yeah, I do sometimes.
I still love getting carded. I thank whoever
you too.
I thank them.
Oh, I love it
profusely. If somebody cards me,
wow!
I give them a big wet kiss. Then they throw me out. So it doesn't matter how old I am.
See, that is so weird.
No matter what. Now, some places they just do it. They just do it because they want to be contrary. They want to make sure nobody's coming.
Oh, yeah.
Like there's no chance I'm not 21. I wish, but that's that. So happy birthday, Cody. You gonna do anything special?
Thank you. Happy birthday to you as well. Yeah. No, I used to have raging parties when I had a guy roommate and we'd have 40 people over.
I had a woman wife roommate.
Yeah, no, she's...
Party pooper.
Says she's doing something for me Friday. I don't know what, though.
All right.
So, I have low expectations for birthdays. Not because of her, because of just the last 10 years.
Yeah.
I haven't had a lot of, like people don't usually surprise me with stuff or do really big things. So it's always kind of like, somebody take me to dinner or do something nice, I'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want?
I disdain my birthday.
You don't want
I don't want it to be acknowledged, nothing.
No, like, breakfast in bed, no phone calls?
No, what am I going to do, eat in bed? Like some sort of flouncy.
And he's got to spend the rest of the day cleaning everything up.
Yeah, then I got
no fun.
Next night I go to bed on crumbs. I got an omelet rolling around on me. That's ugh.
That's
no
fair.
Thanks. I don't like breakfast. I don't think eating. You never should eat in bed. You know, there's food. You know, whatever. Whatever your
thing is. Go out to where the food is. In the kitchen, dining room.
Yeah, that's what a table's for.
Yeah.
You eat at a table. You go eat at a table like a human man.
Yeah.
Like an adult man. That's what you do. All right, listen. So happy birthday, Cody. Once again, congratulations on the well-executed April Fool's prank early in the program. That will be a podcast. And our thanks again to Dan Long, producer extraordinaire, who stuck around way past quitting time to help us out. We appreciate that. And Christy and CB and Double D, the Insomniacs, for jumping in on that. All right, and then let's do this. Then we will say hello to Karen Conti and see what she's got cooking on her big broadcast. We'll do that after this, WGN. All right, thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of the program. Enjoy the rest of your Easter and your Passover. And don't forget, it is still April Fool's Day, so somebody might do something very tricky. I don't know, Karen, do you have any tricks planned for your big broadcast?
You know, I don't. I should. I love April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
But I'm going to talk a little bit about, should we really be playing jokes? I mean, the one you played was just unbelievably great, and it didn't hurt anybody.
What we said. It didn't hurt anybody.
You didn't hurt anyone, but I've done some things in the past that I probably regret a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go into that.
All
and
right.
I'm going to get to the bottom of Roger Badish, too, because I'll bet he's got some really bad tricks he's played on
I
people.
Would imagine. And you got your bunny ears on?
I do have my bunny ears on. I'm trying to light it up.
Sending a message. I don't know what message it's sending, but it is
Hippity
definitely
hop,
sending.
Hop.
Yes. I won't mention your cottontail, because I don't want to get brought up on charges.
Nope.
Will you please, at some point, talk about the Junior Mints case that was just...
I saw that. Empty air in the Junior Mints box. Why don't they fill them up with the mints? How much more could it cost?
Yeah, that's the big... They're trying to get class action status because they did it for somebody sued Ferrara Pan for not putting enough lemon heads in the
They
box.
Did it with Starbucks. They've done it with almost everything.
So that's
and how about the one on the subway? It wasn't a foot long. Remember that?
Yes.
It was only 11.5 inches.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So I guess, I mean, I love Junior Mints. I'd hate to see them go
too.
To court, but...
it's going to cost them a mint, as we know.
Oh, very nice. We'll leave it at that.
That was easy.
Have a wonderful show.
Thank you. Happy Easter.
Thank you. Happy Easter to you as well. All right, Karen Conti's coming your way on the other side of the news. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. If you have a smart speaker, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. If you have a dumb speaker, just look at it and shake your head appalled. The news is with Roger Badish.